And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 24th, 2011, the Wall Punch episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to the show. We talk a lot this week about, we got Deus Ex all over
the house. Where the hell is Dennis
well,
and Jeremy?
Well, Dennis is working.
Always.
Dennis hasn't been in an episode for, I don't know how long.
Actually, he isn't always working. He's just working on Saturday.
On days we record,
really,
yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. And Jeremy is... He's at home, and
he's got
a kid.
A baby.
He's got a kid. So hopefully those guys will be back. I don't know when Dennis is coming back, honestly. But
Jeremy should be back next
Jeremy,
time.
Yeah, he should be back next time. We go over your tweets, which gives us into... we really start off with game journalism. We go over that, the shortcomings of it, the faults, the what it actually is, and what's left with us. DC Universe going free-to-play, Diablo 3 announcement. Also, gambling in an MMO. Is it really gambling? Star Wars MMO release date. Which did we ever touch on the fact that we predicted that? We didn't predict it. We just said that I bet by the time we
have... What's funny is, you know how bad I am about putting up the show, right?
Yeah.
And I was just finishing everything else up and uploading and listening to it uploaded this morning and heard myself like running my mouth about it. And I was like, oh God, thank God. I'm wrong so much. Thank God I was right about this. But I was like very declaratory. I was like, this motherfucker's coming out in 2011, I promise you. They'll probably give us a date the end of this month. Like,
between now and the next show.
Yeah, like, and I was like, I hope to God they give me the release date, because I'm just going to go ahead and say, clearly they'll never do it. And they actually came through for me.
Yeah.
Once.
Last
I appreciate
second.
It.
That's just how it always works.
Let's everybody try to remember the one time we got it right.
Yeah, there's a lot of Deus Ex talk. The first time we start talking about Deus Ex, you should know there are spoilers.
Yeah.
So as soon as you get to the tweet about Deus Ex, actually it didn't even start that way. James says, hey, I heard you, I'm glad you finished Deus Ex. If you haven't, you need to just stop listening until you're done.
Yeah, see, that's not true, though, because then we back out.
I know, and then we go back in. I'm saying stop listening until you're done with the game. Stop listening.
But there's... Okay.
There's a lot of other content, but I can't tell you where it comes in, and we go back into spoilers again.
Stop listening for a while.
Yeah, just beat the game, and then go back to the show.
I'm sorry.
Hmm. Okay, also emails. We talk about Bastion and the Diablo 3 beta. Oh, let's see. Legend of Dragoon gets discussed. And the name disputes in gaming. Deus Ex is ending, of course. We go back into that with the emails as well. Commercialism versus nostalgia. Lots of stuff here. If you want to join us, just head on over to Colony of Gamers. And you can find out all the ways to get in touch with us, either through the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live. You can join us in the chat room when we do those recordings and watch us on cam and listen to the show. You can listen to it live, so you don't have to wait for it to be posted. What else? You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We enjoy it when you email us, and we read everybody's email. Also, you can send us a tweet at ingamechat. We're on Twitter. And you can visit us at the Colony of Gamers forums. So, all of that there for you. Please enjoy the show. We will see you on the 8th.
What I read was through 2012. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Does that mean... until the end of 2012, or just until 2012, until some time in it? Like, if they were going to stop hosting the game next year, then I would think they would say until the end of the year, but I just haven't seen a date. All they said was through 2012.
Yeah,
I don't...
It's rather vague.
That language usually means, you know, until the end of, you know, 2012, so... I wasn't sure exactly what they meant when they said that, and I don't know if anyone else is at all.
Maybe until a significant amount of people start playing Dark Souls online.
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be next month.
That could be any date as well, so...
Right.
Whatever.
Just not sure I understand... it's nice to have a cutoff date if it's something that you care about. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the idea is to get everybody to go play...
new shit?
The new shit, yeah.
Alright, so.
What?
We'll start with Twitter, or you want
to? I don't know. What do you want to
say? I don't know. We'll start with Twitter.
Did you just wake up?
Yes.
You've had like a...
I napped.
You've had like a... don't mind me, I'm just crawling out of my cave thing going since I walked in the door.
Yep. He knocked on the door and I just woke up from the couch and let him in, so... Yeah.
That's why not, because if I just open the door, he's
kind of asleep.
Well, no, it was locked. No. So.
Freak out.
He wouldn't have been able to come in anyway. So. Okay. Doogie2K says, hey, has James seen Game Journo's VG Charts Week? It sort of confirms a lot of things he said in the past about ethics of smaller sites.
What? No. What? What are we talking about?
Man, it's a website called Game Journos. I believe it used to be called Game Journalists Are Incompetent Fuckwits.
Yeah.
And basically, it just exists to point out flaws in game journalism.
Who's got that much time?
This guy. yeah, so he's been, like, every day... I can't remember which week it was, if it was this week or it was the week, you know, right after we finished our recording. He had been posting just more information about, hey, here's what happened at VG Charts. I guess somebody had either...
What happened at VG Charts?
Oh, God, it was... it's actually a lot.
Do your best to summarize.
Let's see. Promises of, promises of... here's a story, we'll give you, go post it, and then not paying them for doing the work and that sort of thing. The head guy of VG Charts, and I can't remember his name, and I'd have to go look at it. I probably have the site still up. Yes, I do. I'm trying to find... Brett Walton is his name. He is the VG Charts proprietor. He is... been shown in light of being a dick, basically.
Well, I mean...
And they have emails, and they have correspondence between employees.
I'm saying, like, if the accusation is that, like, dude's a dick, like, I can be a dick, you know? I'm not saying that's... I'm just saying that's what you're saying, essentially. I don't know what the guy's accused of doing.
Unethical practices, just, you know, not paying his writers, kind of backtracking out of promises that were made and that sort of thing and coming up.
Is this at all like that guy from that place where we used to go?
A lot, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of good stuff if you care about that sort of thing. There was one about...
if you care about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, well, I don't go to VG Charts very
much. But whatever. I mean, there's guys out there obviously, like, being shady, you know?
Yeah, there was another one where the employees were instructed to not speak ill of a certain game because they had a sponsor with... Somebody paid them a bunch of money to sponsor some stuff during the site. Or for a time during on the site, and a memo was sent out, and they have a copy of the memo where it's like, do not post anything negative about such and such game. You're not allowed to do that. And there was some conflict between one of his writers and him and that sort of thing, where, you know, it was one of those situations where it's like, I didn't really sign up for that. And he's like, well, you're in game journalism. This is how you get paid, you know. They pay us to sponsor, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
And so.
I mean, I know. So, what do you do about that? What do you think you do about that? And I'm not talking like, not a God answer, not a Warren Buffett answer. But, like, what do you do? How do you... Is it possible? Is it at all possible to foster a grassroots games journalism movement? Is that even remotely possible?
If you're not worried about making money.
Well, forget making money. It's not about making money. It's about having access to the things you need. It's about having the money to... It's about having the money to do the work. Not about making tons of money.
All right, let's, you know...
Because the first guy to say a bad thing, that guy never gets anything. That guy doesn't get advertisement. Yeah. He doesn't get the kind of revenue that keeps his fucking site turned on. He sure as hell doesn't get review copies, although I think that's some easy shit to fix. That's some seriously easy shit to fix. There's too many embargoes in place right now anyway. And whatever. You can argue all you want about day one reviews. And I know it's a big deal. I mean, it's a deal. It's a thing. But...
Yeah. I mean, it's tough that, you know, if you are the independent grassroots kind of guy because you don't have the name for yourself, you don't have the money to go out and get all the copies of games that you want, you know, to review. So, and most likely the game manufacturers aren't sending them to you, so you're paying for them out of your own pocket.
I think you should do that anyway.
Yeah?
Yes. I absolutely think you should have to do that anyway. Everyone else will. Everyone will. And we're not talking about... These are not trivial expenses. Maybe at a Steam sale. But if you're talking about something in retail, like a brand new game, where it's money, you know? It's real money. And I'm not saying that... I am saying that your relationship with this game changes based on whether or not money's a consideration. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's gifted to me, do you think that I would pay $50 for Red Orchestra 2 and then just let it sit on my drive for a while until I kind of get around to playing it?
No.
But if it's gifted to me, it's like, this is, you know.
Then it sits on your drive for a while.
Then it sits on my drive for a while until they fucking fix it.
Well, yeah, then there's that.
But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, anything that's given to you for free, for gratis, or even for the purposes of criticism, or even in a pure environment, this isn't like this for anybody else. And this isn't a movie ticket. This isn't even a hardback novel, right? This is a fucking video game where your average price of entry is $50, which is a lot of dollars.
Yeah.
And what you may have to say about it when it costs you nothing to get it is, I just can't imagine that that's at all the same.
As if you're shelling out your own cash.
As if it's your own money.
You might be a little bit more critical, like, man, I paid $50 for this piece of crap because this was broken.
Yes.
This was good, but this was bad.
Right.
As opposed to if it's free, I'm like, yeah, it's free. Yeah.
A reviewer simply isn't capable of telling me whether or not it's money well spent. He's not, because he didn't experience that. He never had to come to that understanding. He never had to reconcile his own time and money with the game. And I think you could go a long way towards creating remedy, particularly when we acknowledge that a lot of game reviewers, for many reasons, but they want to be very nice to the company so that they don't get cut off from free copies. Well, what the fuck is that?
One of the weekend writers. What was the name of the company again? Wilkinson Sword had bought an advertising campaign.
Wilkinson Sword?
Yeah.
Like a sword?
No, they promoted, it's shaving stuff, Edge and Schick or whatever. Anyway, they were promoting that. I know, it seems odd, but whatever. Ranger products have been branded with various PlayStation 3 titles. This was in April of this year. Specifically, Infamous 2, Killzone 3, and Gran Turismo 5. Now, most of the advertorials were labeled brought to you by such and such. However, when the campaign started, their weekend editor sent a note to the editor-in-chief of VG Chart saying, if that's the case, the advertorials should be labeled as such. And he replied, nope, that's part of it. Starting this week, no editorial content can speak badly of Killzone 3, GT5, or Infamous 2. We've got an ad deal with the Edge Schick promotion, and that's part of the deal. Anyway, letters were sent back and forth, and from the editor in chief, he says, "Unfortunately, I think you're being naive. I understand you're not comfortable with the business side of journalism, but particularly if you want to keep writing about gaming as a career, this is how it works. That said, I don't believe we have to sacrifice our ethics. If some news posts come out ripping GT5 a new one, we won't lie and say it's not true, but we'll just have to skip that particular story in our coverage."
Isn't that a lie of omission?
It's not only a lie of omission, it's admitting to... whatever, nobody can run every story all the time. But it's also admitting that you don't actually perform journalism.
Yeah.
You're simply refusing to post somebody else's news item. Well, that's not really journalism. It doesn't really happen, right? Investigative, critical, broad, conversational, durable journalism doesn't occur.
But yeah, there's a whole, just a ton of information over there if you're interested in looking at it. GameJournals.com has the whole thing over there. Gersnort says, "So, DC Universe Online is going free-to-play."
That's...
"Can't say I didn't see it coming, particularly in light of Star Trek doing the same, but so soon."
Is that the death knell?
Huh?
Is that like, you know...
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. Not only is it not the death knell, it's the...
It's a resurgence.
It's the second wind,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, because Lord
of the Rings did it. Although, for a really, really, really long time, Lord of the Rings managed to sustain itself at very low levels. For several years, actually. The type of person who would subscribe to Lord of the Rings was very devoted to it, liked it an awful lot, but they were well below the critical mass of subscribers necessary to really just keep things going. So their model is my understanding is that their model of they have a free-to-play option, but their model is still very hybridized.
With the Star
and
Trek,
most of them are, actually.
With Star Trek being free-to-play, have you thought about getting back into that?
Oh, are you out of your fucking mind? Back into it? I played it long enough to laugh at it. It's not good.
You don't feel the need for the further adventures of the USS Lollipop?
Nope. No, I do not. Because that's about as far as you can take the joke, Matt. Is naming it the Lollipop and then laughing at yourself for a few minutes and then logging the fuck out and never coming back. I'm sure there are other people that have had more fun with it, but my understanding is that they don't even know how to do anything in Endgame. Much less. The question isn't about getting it done faster. It's about getting it done at all. I haven't played there, but I don't know. But I have... Oh, God, I have no interest there. I've hopped into a couple of things recently out of fucking boredom. Not DC, but I hopped into Champions.
Hey, I saw you doing
it. Yeah, and I did that. You know, I spent like a good couple hours building my character, and then a good couple of minutes realizing that I can't stand the way the game plays. And then I quit, you know?
I fired back up City Heroes today.
Oh, yeah?
Why?
All my stuff.
Today?
Yeah. Well, I...
Then he took a nap.
Yeah. No, I emailed... Or not emailed. I got an email saying that, hey, your account is reinstated as a free account because you were once a paying member. So your account is... whatever, it's reactivated. So you can play, and I thought, let's jump in and see what's there. And, man, all my guys are still there. Still exactly where the fuck I left them the last time. Ever how many 800 and some odd days ago.
That can be kind of sad, actually, when you log into guys that you haven't seen for a while.
Oh, my God, it was my UI was all fucked up. I didn't know, you know. Well, I changed screen resolutions, and so it just...
Oh, I see.
It just
I
all
see.
Went right in the center.
Sure.
And so... I had forgotten how to do hell half the stuff. I had to hover over my powers to be like, what does this thing do? Oh, yeah, that's the, you know, dispense my robots and stuff. Or, I knew what jump was, though. Boy, I knew what super jump was. Click that and hop around. Updated all my graphics settings, everything else. It ran really smooth. But boy, it was just desolate. It was round.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Just empty.
Since you've been on this since 2005, right?
Yeah, about there.
2005?
Yeah. 2000.
I thought you played well after that.
It may have been 2006, though. No. I had logged in at one point with my old computer after many years, or I say many years, it felt like many years of not playing. You know, and I, they had just released a graphic update for it to say, you know, that you can do this now. And I put up all my stuff, settings up to the top, and I couldn't move. And I just logged back out, didn't really care. But yeah, now everything runs fine, but the desire to play it is not really there. But I did want to look at it. I hadn't been there in forever. So I hopped around and looked, that sort of thing. But it was just
I was interested in looking at it because I haven't been on there. I don't think well before 2000.
Man, I still had a welcome message from Dorcas.
Nice.
From 2006. It hadn't been changed since 2006.
Yeah, last thing I remember was a team mission in some Boomtown or something. Yeah, it's been a long. Yeah, it's been that long. It's been a while since I got on there.
Boomtown. You had to get to Boomtown through King's Row, I think it was. Yeah. You had to get to really bad shit by going through shit first. Like, King's Row was just like a shitty, dilapidated place. And then Boomtown was worse.
Mm-hmm. It had some charm, that game.
Yeah.
It was run poorly. It was managed and developed poorly after release, in my opinion.
Remember the comics that used to come out with it?
Yes, they were...
Get those in the mail.
Dreadful. But see, that was fun.
That was fun.
The quality of the comics aside, that was really fun. The idea and the vast, like, camaraderie, you know, that everybody shared because we all got the stupid little paper comic once a month. It was a thing. I liked that. I liked what they tried to do. But yeah, man, free, like, I'm telling you, and I'm not stupid. I know what I'm talking about, I think. The Old Republic is probably the last traditional MMO on Earth. That's it. We're done. Everything from this point on is either going to be vastly redesigned and completely abandon the types of mechanics we're familiar with, and or is going to completely abandon the standard subscription model. They're not doing that shit anymore, man. And anybody, you know, it's always been, what, $15? $12, I guess, maybe like 12 years ago or something. But since like 2003, whatever, it's $15 a month. Everybody charges $15 a month. But no one can sustain enough interest to justify $15 a month. So they switch to free to play because it's a lot easier. And if people like your game enough to play at all, they're more likely to spend more than $15 a month.
It's just me, or is all gaming go heading toward the casual gamer?
Well, yeah, a lot of it is, yeah.
So no matter what the genre, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be geared towards the casual, just pick up and play for a little bit, stop and come back later.
Because that's a lot easier to monetize, you know? That's like...
You see, I've been seeing that with the fighting game genre. They want to make it as easy as possible for someone to just pick up and play it. But the problem with that is, you get the casual player against the dedicated hardcore player, and you see that gap show up pretty darn quick.
Yeah,
really, you do. And so it can't so much to the point where the casual player doesn't want to play it no more.
All right, now here's the question as it pertains to MMOs, and I'll put it to you regarding fighting games. As you've seen fighting games designed more and more for casual entry-level players, have you felt that there's less for you as a hardcore player? Have you somehow felt like this fucking game, now that it's just for fucking casuals, fuck it because all the stuff I used to love isn't there? I don't talk like that, but, you know, that's... That's the emotion in MMOs.
Can I say I felt I felt kind of that way for like Marvel Capcom 3.
Yeah.
And the upcoming Ultimate. I felt that way about it, honestly. I mean, I could still play it. I could still play it, but I'm not as interested in playing it as opposed to the older titles that we've all played on earlier.
Is it because the difficulty, the high end difficulty, just isn't there?
It just felt dumbed down. That's really the reason that I really didn't like the newer Marvel vs. Capcom, because it felt like a dumbed down version of what we used to play. Probably I'm harping back to how it used to be, basically.
I guess I'm being
old fashioned.
No, it's not that. It's not that. What were you gonna say?
Well, I mean, as he was saying that, you know, they're making it more for casual players. I think that could be detrimental in a way to both, because, like you say, the casual player, you know, plays against you. He's getting his ass handed to him left and right, and then it makes him fed up. And whereas you're just like, you know, there's no challenge to it. You know, if all you get is back to back challengers of just, you know, kids who don't know what the hell they're doing, and you're just like, I'm done, then that's not exciting for you. You want that challenge of, you know, like, you know, two hardcore people going at it. You know, like, man, this guy's good. I do this. He counters. He blocks. He does that. I counter block. And, you know, you want that sort of, like, constant stalemate until you finally get your in. If it's just straight up just like, blam, decimate this kid, then you're like, eh. And he's frustrated.
The gap is going to make itself evident real quick, but you know, if I wanted that hardcore challenge, you know, I just find some folks online or go to a local tournament or whatnot, because yeah. I'll definitely find it there.
Next couple of tweets come from Kyrie. I'm so tired of internet rage, it has become senseless. Diablo 3 being online only isn't different from, Guild Wars GW, but. Still, half the internet declares that they won't buy it. Some even say that they'll play online only, free-to-play Diablo clone instead. People are just looking for things to rage at because they don't know what else to do. I'm tired of the negativity.
Where are you at on that, by the way? I'm in no way negative about it, because...
I'm not negative about it either.
While there may be some things like that a thoughtful, reasoned person could sit down and say, like, I don't like this, and this is, you know, and the more I think about it, the more upset I get. That's not what happened, though, right? Announcement is made, and the internet goes from zero to plaid, like, nothing in between, yeah. Right? They are instantly the baby-raping devil for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear... I could go the rest of my life without hearing somebody say, thanks for fucking up my childhood, or oh, you've just completely, like, raped my childhood memories. No, that's never, ever actually happened. As much as what we were bitching about, like, Lucas for doing, what he's doing is making bad decisions. He isn't destroying the old... Well, he actually actively is trying to destroy the old thing,
yeah.
Which is the only part of what he did that's evil. Making updates and changes is not evil. That piece of shit Game of Thrones thing on HBO, yeah, that's actually how I feel, did not destroy the book. It's things like that that I don't understand.
Because you always have the book to go back to. It's always there.
Again, never, ever understood it.
Whereas in the case of Star Wars, because you don't really have...
That's actually a unique circumstance. Yeah, because he's really, gone out of his way to try to destroy it.
Really, exactly.
Although you do have him on DVD, the original.
Well, it's just amazing that he's gone so far to, like, you can't have this product anymore.
He's a revisionist, and that's not good. But, and so, I'm wrong about that. That actually is a unique circumstance. But, and that's not even entirely what I'm talking about. People are just so... instantly furious over what? Nothing has been done to you. This is their idea of how they would like to make a thing they want you to buy. That's, you're not required to.
Yeah.
There's no government mandate. You have no rights to any of this. You may not agree with it or think it's the best way to do it, and you may even be right, but who gives a shit? Who gives a shit if you are?
I'm going to buy it anyways, just because I want to play Diablo 3, like anybody else who's rational and sane.
I mean...
It looks like
a lot of fun. But there's a cash shop in Diablo 2. You're going to be forced to give them your money in order to have gear. Did you know that? Because that's what... Yes. You have no choice but to go spend your money, actual physical money, on gear in the cash shop. And Blizzard's going to take a piece of it.
Is that just to get better gear?
No, no, no. You are 100% forced, actually. A dude from Blizzard is going to come to your house and rifle through your shit and take your money. But apparently, according to the internet, right? Nobody ever wants to talk about the fact that it's 100% optional. Nobody ever wants to talk about the fact that there's also a gold thing, right? They're simultaneously pissed off that Always Online fucks up solo play, which actually is a... Yeah, it kind of does. It's a little weird. And that there's a cash shop. Yeah. And that the two of these things basically have nothing to do with one another.
My problem with Always Online is I'm not always at a place that has online.
That sucks.
I mean, and just for those times, I guess I won't be playing.
Right. Does Old Republic suck because of that?
No, but I won't be
playing that either.
Yeah, I know. I expect that from Old Republic.
Well, you should expect it from Diablo because we've known about it for an age now.
And, I mean, it will suck. I mean, because I know eventually I'll be going to places, again, where no internet connection. I'll be like, we're very, very sporadic and limited. I'll be like, I guess I'll be doing other things during that time.
I'm not saying people can't get upset about it. I get it, but I agree with him that the intensity of the rage over these things is amazing. And there's nothing wrong with saying you won't buy it. I could see looking at it and being like, whatever, it's not my thing, and... I don't know, but there's so much... It's entitlement, right? I mean, that's what it feels like anyway.
Yeah.
So much of that. That I just don't know how to talk about it. I never participate in discourse online because of this. Because there's no room for you if you're... And I'm not even saying being rational. There's no room for you if you simply aren't angry about something that they've decided is wrong. And you will be, you are the problem, they will say. Or, you just don't get it. You don't agree with me, therefore you do not get it. This is the case. There is no discussion. So we've established that there's obviously no community, no discussion, and no journalism regarding video games.
But what does that leave you with? This?
Yeah.
And not, I mean, this as a show, but like just you and your buddy sitting around talking about
it. This is all that's left, is surround yourself with like-minded people.
Yeah.
But, differing opinions are good. And you can honestly say, when they said Always On for Diablo, in my mind the picture was I would log in every time I wanted to play the same way I do when I play Minecraft, you know, but I could still play something local. The idea that you actually won't be playing anything local is a little bit startling. Even your single player game will be taking place on the server. Yeah. All game logic is occurring on the server. All enemy placement, all the loot, everything. Which means in your single, by your goddamn self gameplay, you have a ping. That's fucking weird. You know? I believe a lot of what they say. I think they understand, it's a real market for Diablo loot. Which is why I've never had any problem with their Earth Money Auction House.
Yeah.
It's only a problem if you imagine yourself being fleeced. Like, nobody ever considers, for whatever reason, doing the fleecing. You know? Blizzard's just taking a cut, so I don't understand it. So, this idea that it's very important that it exists as a single-player game is outmoded, kind of ill-considered, I think, and irrelevant to their game, like it or not.
Yep.
I don't know what else... I honestly don't know what else to say about that. I'm not upset about it. I'm a little... It's weird. You know, some of what they've done is weird. I'm not I'm not super happy about it. That's the other thing.
But you're not.
Doesn't mean I love it, right? It doesn't mean I'm a sheeple. Like, that's not how it works. Yeah. I'm just not pissed about it.
You're not seeing Plaid.
Yeah. So, I don't get it. It is weird, man, and it's not the future I wanted. But it's here you go.
Yeah.
This is how it's done. People like Blizzard are making their games. And meanwhile, as you say, fine. Don't play it. Just go play Torchlight and don't be pissed off. Just don't be pissed off so much. It's unnecessary.
Next question comes from StarStealer22. Hey guys, did you hear about Korean game regulators investigating MMO jackpot items, claiming that they are a form of gambling?
Yeah, I think I did see that, actually.
I did not. He doesn't provide a link, but yeah.
No, I did see that. Is that a stretch? I don't know. Jackpot items? That's a little bit... Yeah, that's a stretch. I mean, I suppose you could say that they kind of are, but... Yeah, I don't know. That's hardly the only purpose of the game.
Yeah.
Well, I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Loot is very often the point. The random number generator is your god. It's the god you pray to, so... That's a little bit funny. Whatever, there's not going to be any end to that shit in the future. They're going to find a way to have some revenue from those things. Until they're all hosted in the fucking Netherlands.
Yeah. Thundrago says, Star Wars The Old Republic release date announced today.
Yep.
Think it'll be a WoW killer or free to play in 6 months?
No, I don't think it's going to go free to play in 6 months. I think that's unlikely. I mean, think about it for a second. It's got the accessibility of Warcraft's mechanics. It is like mostly Warcraft under its skin, right? Now, that skin is a really stupid-looking Clone Wars type of art. I hate it. I really, really, really don't like it. They've improved it a little bit. And if you compare it to, like, some of the vids they've shown over the last couple of years, every art pass has kind of taken it back towards something a little more palatable. You know, the lightsabers look quite a bit like lightsabers now. They don't look like Nerf bats. Is that entirely necessary? Maybe you could put it right up here by the microphone and do that. That would be really awesome. But, so, like, that sucks, too. But it's the kind of thing where it's like, oh, it's a cartoon, so like, it's for kids, which is something WoW had a problem establishing for a really long time. So it's got that demographic. It's got the fucking Star Wars demographic. Like, it's insane, you know? Yeah. I love Star Wars, so I'm going to play this. And it's like, this is an MMO full of lots of people. If you've never played this kind of... like, it's going to be like WoW, where this is going to be a lot of people's first MMO. You know? I mean, you're going to play it. You don't play MMOs. Yeah. You've dabbled, but you don't really play them.
Yeah.
You don't like the type of gameplay. You don't really find the things in it that I do. So there's going to be a lot of guys like you who are coming at it because it's Star Wars. Hell, they're blatantly saying, well, this is just KOTOR 3... and we're forcing you to subscribe to an MMO to play KOTOR 3.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite swift of them, you know? Really good, like, really good, I don't know, money grab by EA.
I'm tempted to jump into it.
I think you'd like it.
I'm more tempted now because of where it's releasing. I'm like, hey, that's a good little spot. I don't have anything going on.
Right.
Should have pretty good income at that point to blow $60 on the game and get a month out of it or whatever you guys are going
to
be doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I will have to play it before I decide how long I'm going to spend in it.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to understand that this game is going to draw people. This is going to be a crossroads kind of game. There will be a lot of people who have never played MMOs who will play it. A lot of people who don't even understand what the hell an MMO is, but they just see Star Wars The Old Republic, and they're there. There's a lot of people who look at the art style and think, like, oh, this doesn't threaten me with, you know, sharp corners and mean faces, you know? And it's not fantasy, so they're not scared of, like, showing up at the office and being called a fag or something like that. Like, you know, it doesn't threaten their manhood or their womanhood or their bullshit perceived social standing because it's like, oh, it's a Star Wars thing or whatever. Like, how the hell that works, I don't know. But
you wait till they start mass marketing this thing on television.
You'd be surprised, but it does.
They'll be skewing that shit towards, you know, I'm telling you, anybody that's a Star Wars fan that just casually sees a commercial on television pop up for that. That looks great. I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah. Now,
let's jump into that.
So, yeah, understanding that, these guys are fully within their, I don't want to say rights, but, like, they're not out of their minds charging $15. And there's no way it's not going free to play.
Nabokov fan says, in order to ask the police chief about an investigation, I have to kill the Detroit police force. Deus Ex doesn't make sense. I realize in the world we live in, if I hadn't put Deus Ex, how bizarre that sentence would be to see.
That's always true. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm not sure.
The police chief.
In order to ask the police chief about an investigation, I have to kill the Detroit police force.
Are you talking about the guy, the only guy you have to talk to, the only cop.
First level there. Side mission.
The only cop you have to talk to. Like, talk to. Is the one, he's just in the lobby. Yeah. You know, and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to break in or do anything. You just, like, walk in and talk to him. Everything else that you need out of the police station, you can get by being a sneaky bastard. Unless I'm...
No, you're right.
Or just talk to the guy behind the glass.
No, the guy behind the glass... You have to pass a certain conversation check in order to get in legitimately. Yeah. Sneaking into the police station is totally legit.
Yeah.
And if you're seen, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that requires you to kill anybody to talk to anybody.
Yeah, he says, first level side mission, I can't get in the offices, so I have to sneak in. I just started, I have no sneaking stuff, only bullets.
They probably got spotted.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is, you know, that anybody you have to talk to, you don't have to kill people necessarily. Like, because the only cop you have to talk to is the guy. He's right there. Right? Because it's about old girl. It's about your woman.
Yeah.
And he's just in the lobby. And they won't shoot you if you go in the lobby, because it's the lobby.
Well, no, you have to go in there. Don't you talk to the guy at the morgue?
But that's not side mission. That's Sarah.
That's main mission. Okay. A, that's a main mission. That's right, B, that's right. Even if you sneak in, he doesn't know you sneak in, and he doesn't give a shit.
Right.
You can sneak. You can murder everybody, and he doesn't know. He doesn't care. There's only two people in there. Two dudes you actually have to talk to. Not that, you know, playing Terminator isn't kind of fun. Anyway.
Yeah. That's my neck. I gotta go through it on it.
Well, you can, like, run your car through the...
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go through it on it.
What do you think of the loading screens being brought to you by, you know, Star Wars Blu-ray?
I have no idea, because I had already beaten the game by that point.
Oh, you haven't played it since.
It's pretty tacky. That's what I think. I think it's tacky, because the loading screens are really stylized, you know? Right? And so to put an ad in that, it's really... Bleh. I don't like it.
Lavos says, any of the crew jumped into the deep end of Trekmania 2 Canyon? I have not, but I will be. As a reward for beating Deus Ex, I was going to buy myself Trekmania 2 Canyon. I have not done that yet, but I'm thinking...
That's such an incredibly silly thing to say, but okay.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's fine. I think you should buy it.
I do. I think so, too. I played it at PAX, and I loved it.
I am glad that you beat the game, though.
Yes.
And didn't queef out. Just whatever.
He chose the same ending first that I did.
Which one?
Donald Core.
What's wrong with you people? Why would you choose that ending first?
Well, she tells you basically what's going to happen.
And so you wanted to die. That you thought you'd like suicide? I don't understand. I mean, I understand doing that ending. I did it too. But it wasn't my first choice. And I don't understand why it's the appealing first choice. I think... Actually, you know what? I think it's because choosing between the other three is hard. I think because deciding what each of those three actually means is too much for you. You can just walk down the hall and blow up the fucking world and fuck you! I don't have to worry about what anything means because they're very subtle different meanings.
I think he's right. Sarah, I think if I really look at why I picked that choice, I think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think there was a lot, especially going back and playing those other three endings. Even after seeing those other three endings, I was still like, man, I don't know which one I want of these. And so the whole option of like, you know, fuck it, just let it burn and with myself so I don't have to make that choice either.
Lazy fuckers.
Was my reason.
I'm telling you, like, that's got to be the reason, because every one of you that I know that's finished the game and I've talked to about the ending did that first.
Which one did you pick first?
I picked Taggart.
Okay.
And I was like, I was cool with Seraph, right? But here's my opinion. Jensen had far outgrown Seraph. Seraph was pleading, cloying, desperate at the end. He needed you.
He was.
To support you, him. And Jensen was more than he had grown beyond what Seraph could do for him.
Yeah.
I wasn't there to help him. It was too much of a mess. And it was a mess very much of his making, right? Because it was a huge fucking mess. What's his name? Old guy?
Daryl's?
Whatever. Like his ending, which is just like, you know,
kind of like Daryl's.
Do what?
William Darrow's.
I think you're just making up a name.
No, I think that's the old guy with the leg. That was his name.
Whatever, that guy.
Yeah.
He and I had already come to grips, and I was like, wow, you are batshit insane. I left you slumped like an old man, and like a tired old man that you are, who can't handle the reality of the new world. You know? You're like, I mean, you're really like one of those guys who, you know, the right man at the right place in the right time, who became the catalyst for the future, the conduit through which the future happened, and then realized you were too feeble to handle it, and so decided you would try to claw it back. Well, you're wrong. I'm sure as hell not going to help you.
It was William Taggart and Hugh Darrow.
Hugh Darrow.
Yeah.
You were just making shit up.
You got Darrow, right?
No, you didn't say Darrow.
I said Darrow's.
Oh, Taggart, however, in the final analysis, as much of a skis bag as he is, in the reality of that final moment, it was horrible. Obviously, his notion of how to solve the problem was the only one that was logical. Not to mention, in my opinion, it's the only one that is graceful in its approach to Deus Ex 1. It is the one that most accurately puts you... Yeah. Where Deus Ex needs to go. And I think that's no coincidence, because given the giant shit pile you're left with at the end of Human Revolution... Oh, spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, Nabokov just says, what game are they talking about?
At the end of...
Whoops.
At the end of all of that, like, you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, man, this shit is fucked. Obviously, these fucking people are just going to do this shit again. You know what? Yes. Clamp down on this shit. And if you look at it, that's actually where you were in Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Very, very, very few people had, like, physical Adam Jensen style logs. Anna Navarra and Gunter Hermann did.
Yeah.
But they were rare, and they were old,
dinosaurs.
Like... Yeah, dinosaurs, man. They were old, like... Old spooks, you know, like old government muscle, right? And they represented the old. And, like, you know, JC and Paul and all of those guys represented the new, and they didn't, in a world, excuse me, like, not devoid, but nearly devoid of physical augments. It had all gone
to nanotech.
They had all gone to nanotech, right?
Yeah.
Taggart's ending makes that make sense. And it puts the world in precisely the place where Bob Page wanted it. A place ripe for MJ-12. A place ripe for the government to pull this kind of control out. The last thing they wanted was the David Seraph ending. I think the suicide ending works okay. I think you can make it make sense with Deus Ex. I even think that the Hugh Darrow ending could be wanked to make sense with it. Seraph ending doesn't. You'd have to wank really hard. And as self-aware as the Deus Ex series is, it makes more sense that you don't hear from, you know, Seraph Industries and Tai Young Medical are not big names in the future. Only the guys who survived are, like Tong. So, yeah.
I went back and I played and watched through all the credits and listened to the thing at the end.
Did you? Did you stay to the end of the fucking credits?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that it doesn't
necessarily... It made no sense to me, obviously, but yeah.
That's the whole point is, her going to work for Paige...
Is what sets you up.
Not only that, it's not only what sets up the existence of JC. That was the whole point of the entire game. The whole fucking point was to get her right there in Bob Page's office. Mm-hmm. Everything you did, everything you were his indirect, unwitting tool at a really far remove. It doesn't stop me being fascinated by Adam. And I would be, like, I think you could do a lot of interesting shit with Adam in a very Solid Snake gets fed up and goes to live in the Alaskan outback tundra, you know, sleep with wolves kind of thing. Like, fuck all this, I'm gone. And then has to like come back and do some shit. Really fascinating. I like him as a dude. And I think there's some really good shit implied at the end. If you just look at it and you're like, shitty ending, it's like, not entirely, no. There's a lot of fantastic implication. And they had a job to do. They still have to get you to Deus Ex. This ending can't put you in a place that doesn't get you to Deus Ex. You have to be able to get there from here.
Yeah.
One of the buttons has to get you there from here. So, I thought it was great. And you just think, the next time you're presented with real choices in a video game, what you did. You just think about what you did. You took the easy way out.
Yeah.
That's the Kraven's ending. That's what that hallway is.
And when's the DLC coming out?
October. No specific date.
Yeah.
Looks fun. More boss fight. But they claim it's... I have to imagine that a lot of that DLC was like, I don't want to say etched in stone, but like it was pretty much done. And we know it has a boss fight in it, or at least one boss fight in it. And they've said, like, oh, it's got a boss fight, but we like to think that, you know, maybe we've learned a little bit. It's like, I like to think that you read the bad press and went back to fucking work on it and fixed the boss fight.
And did it yourself.
The outsourced boss fights.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
By people who claim never to have had any meaningful knowledge of Deus Ex.
Yep.
What?
And it felt like it.
Well, yeah, but what?
Yeah.
And in recent interviews, guys from Eidos Montreal have said, like, no, we started... They were very deft. You can find this one, I think, maybe one or two days ago on at this point on RPS. But they were like, yeah, so the thing, like, the boss fights were outsourced. Like, what the fuck? Didn't you really think that would be a problem? Or words to that effect. And they said, well, you know, initially we had the scope of the boss fights was something that accommodated the play style of the players. He was basically trying to say, we wanted to do them the way we wanted to do them, and that's not what happened. And it's like, yeah, this didn't come from you. I don't think you guys were to the point where you couldn't have handled doing the boss fights. This came from somewhere else.
I've never heard of that, actually. I've heard, you know, outsourcing your multiplayer section. I know...
outsourcing your videos.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know that Assassin's Creed outsources the different segments. Like, the city segment is one team. the Templar Lair segments is a different team, and then, you know, the multiplayer is a different team, stuff like that, all sorts of different stuff, but it's all very cohesive, it's all very structured. This was like, yeah, I've never heard of them saying it's to take a boss fight and have some other team work on,
I'm telling you,
a boss fight.
It came from Japan. It came from Japan. It came from Squeenix. They have the cultural differences between their concepts of game design and what makes it what it is. And I don't just mean their designers. They're young, hungry developers who understand our Western stuff. Or even their mature, like really wizened guys like who understand. There's an executive culture over there that is adamant that what we do over here is just not the thing. And those boss fights smack at every level of Metal Gear. And you're never gonna play a Japanese game like this where you say Laputin machine to a boss and he fucking explodes and you win. That's never gonna happen that way. It's not. There's set piece things designed in this specific way that are fucking agnostic of how you've actually played the game up to that point. It's Japanese.
Yeah.
It wasn't an accident. You don't accidental your way into something so completely fucking stupid. Even though I didn't have a huge problem with them, but God, were they just not interesting. Whatever. I am really interested to see what happens with the DLC design, to see how it looks compared to the rest of the game. It sounds like it'll be pretty generous. It's not stupid. It's not locked in that one point in time in the game, which you all know where it comes now, right?
Yeah.
You can play it from the main menu at any time, so that's, it's not generous, but it's conscientious of them. That's really cool.
Next question comes from Lavos as well. Diablo 3 in 2012. Lots of outlets are reporting delay, but if I remember correctly, Blizzard only ever said they really want to release. They really want to release in 2011.
You are absolutely right. And if my... They were most adamant about will beta in 2011. Before the end of the year. That's actually what they were talking most about, is that we really, really want a beta by the end of the year. Well, their beta ends September, so they're perfectly fine, but they never said. It was never a date. People were very weird about that.
Blizzard's always been, it's done when it's done.
When Blizzard gives you a date, that's the date, and that is the only date.
Yeah.
It may take them a long time to give it to you, but they don't change their dates. Because they don't give them until they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I do think is interesting is where in 2012 it's going to show up. Because, just for myself, if it's very early, I mean, have you watched the beta streams of Diablo 3?
No.
I mean, there's no NDA. There's absolutely no NDA whatsoever. You're fully free to watch anything you want. Or well, you're always free to watch, but you're free to broadcast whatever you want. They have no problem with it. They're very confident in their product right now. From what I can tell, they have every right to be. I don't see any reason why this can't come out, like, really early.
First quarter. 2012.
Yeah, first quarter.
We got Lavos in the chat room says they've had good luck with late January.
Yeah.
For releases.
I don't think we're even remotely looking at summer or anything. I think like late winter, early spring.
When does StarCraft come out?
June.
Okay.
But see, what that does is, I mean, if I'm having a grand fucking time with Old Republic, then I'm playing Old Republic, and this is another thing to consider. And, you know, whatever, we'll start looking at what the first quarter looks like later on. Guild Wars, by all fucking reports, is in fantastic shape. Is just doing really, really good. And those guys seem to be also very confident of their game, enough to show it frequently. I can't... Just judging by the state that their thing seems to be in, and I don't understand why that wouldn't release in the first quarter of next year either. So, there could be an awful lot of... Awful lot of these god damned multiplayer time sinks in the first quarter. You know? I mean, December 20th is damn near the first quarter.
Yeah.
For all practical purposes, it's the end of the year. So, whatever, you know. I'm not going to gripe for the feast. Just, it's a lot to do, you know? Which is good. See, it's really quite good, actually. There are worse problems than to have so many things that I really want to play. Have my choice of really excellent games. You know, any number of things worth spending my time and money on in the course of half a year.
You're picking up Forza, right?
No, I'm not gonna. I don't think I'm gonna buy Forza. I might wind up buying it. I need to hear a little bit about it. You know, it's weird. It's a console game. I don't know how it's actually going to perform or do anything. I'll at least rent it, but I don't know that I'm going to buy. I don't know at all.
Psych Danny says, where did James fall on UIE? I look at it, it looks back at me, but we never say a word. Should I ask her out or get the fuck out?
Man, it's weird. It's clunky.
That's the Russian one, right?
Is it Russian? No, I wouldn't say Russian. Can't remember who did it. It's really... She's not very pretty. She's really not pretty at all. But she's really interesting. I don't know, man. If you wind up with a giant hole in your schedule and $20 you can't figure out how to get rid of, pick it up because it's a hell of a curiosity. I've only spent probably a few hours with it, I think, overall. And I don't understand it very well, and it's very... It's mean. You probably like it.
What type of genre is this?
It's a first-person... RPG thing, but it's not talky, and it's desolate and unfriendly and tough. I think it's more of a curiosity than a good game, but I might not be man enough for it. Maybe that's my problem.
No demo, I guess.
No. It's $20.
Yeah.
I did buy it, though. I bought it because... I run my mouth a lot about independent developers making things other than cute puzzle games or kitschy,
right,
hipster platformers. And not that I don't want anybody to necessarily stop doing that, but I just want to see more things, you know? So when indies come along and do something more, every now and then I feel like I should throw some more money at it. Kind of feel like I should have thrown some money on Hard Reset, but... I didn't like a lot of what was said about it by people I trust, so.
I don't know if it's being picked up on the mic, but it's picking up on the cam. Thundrago says, is there a helicopter over Scott's house? No, that is a neighbor cutting their lawn.
That's all right, though, because they have a dog that wears goggles.
They do.
So it's okay.
Spigot says, are any of you looking forward to the Ico Shadow of the Colossus HD pack next week? I'm super pumped.
Is that actually coming out?
It's next week.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep, it's next week. I got it on my Gamefly.
I never played Ico. I've always wanted to. I saw Jeremy play it and everything.
Same here.
Man. I played some show. The Colossus.
Okay. What will I give you if you beat Ico? I would give you something. Significant, I think, if you actually beat that fucking game.
Why is that?
Because it's kind of a really bad game.
Yeah.
It's fascinating and it's beautiful and it's like,
yeah, like what, nothing great. But one long, you know, just escorting mission.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like 3 trillion hours of escorting a bitch who does her damnedest to thwart all your efforts to keep her safe. And in that, it's really good at like kind of that tugging anxiety, but it's very frustrating. And it's very, the controls are a little loose and rubbery in some ways. And like your guy, your little dude, he's a little kid, you know, he's not meant for combat. And, you know, it does what it does right. It's not a failure. I don't mean to say that. But it's also, it's old, and it would be very hard to play, I think. It's not smash face, it's not super aggressive like God of War. You know, like, you can't go back and be like, oh, this is updated, but, you know, I kind of still get the idea. Smash, 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 kill, kill, kill. It's more or less kind of the same thing. It's an art game, you know, and it's weird. And it's not... it's emotionally good in the same ways that Shadow is, but... And it's obviously familiar, you know, it would play in a familiar way, but you're different. Your guy's different, and the situation is different. And it's...
I watched you play the original over here.
Did you?
A long time ago, yeah. Because you were really... this was before, you know, we were really talking about games, you and I. But you had brought it over, and you were telling me about it. Like, this whole... you were telling me about the castle. It's like, this whole castle, it's like, you know, it's... it's built exactly the way that it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's designed in the game exactly as if it was designed...
In the world,
yeah.
All of... everywhere you are, the point of reference is in kind of agreement with everything else,
yeah,
in the world. It's...
it's not... it's, you know, it's not the... it's not the, the phone box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Don't get me wrong. It is great, but as time goes on, it gets older. And... you know, game design kind of evolves and we grow comfortable with different things. So, I would be surprised if either one of you beat it.
Spigot also says, what are your thoughts on the new SSX game? I'm excited about it, as Scott is for new Burnout games. I played it at PAX, and I really liked it. I only got a little bit of playtime in, and it was only on one of the modes, so I can't really tell you, you know, anything else. The trick system, I guess, is there. I've seen that from the videos. I couldn't pull off a single damn thing while I was playing because I didn't know what I was doing, but it was still... yeah, I mean, it's SSX, and if you're as excited about it as I am about Burnout games, then I think you're in good shape. So, I think it'll be great for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. I haven't played, many SSX games. I think I played, like, 2. The first one I had was, 3. SSX 3?
Yeah, they were good up until... well, no, 3 was good as well. After that, yeah, they really fell. You know, Tricky's still the best one. The one I had the most fun with was Tricky. Thundrigo says, tried on live and got Deus Ex for, I guess, what's £1. Tried to play last night and the server was full. Main problem with online-only games.
Server was full?
I'm not sure how online's working for you guys over in the UK, but I don't know.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Server's full. Oh, man.
I pop in every now and then on live.
But for what? Was it Deus Ex?
Yeah.
Now, are you doing the first one, or are you doing... I'm guessing you're the first one.
Yeah, if you got it for cheap.
Yeah, if you got it that cheap. Jesus.
I pop into on live every now and then, just check out what other people are doing.
Motherfucker! Motherfuck! Fuck me! I found the only goddamned book.
What was it?
The only book I was missing out of my fucking playthrough,
yeah,
of Deus Ex. I found it while I was
watching some
fucking sitting there drinking, eating a snack, and watching a motherfucker play on online.
Holy shit.
He picked it up.
It was Human Revolution.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You picked that up for £1? Jesus, that must have been some special they were doing.
Oh, because of the
Maybe because of the UK release, yeah. That must have been a special.
That's pretty fucking great.
That's nice. I mean, I hate that the servers were full, dude, but...
Good on you for it.
That's nice.
Yeah, man. What was that? All right. When you go to confront Taggart at the convention center...
Yeah.
The second time you're in Detroit.
Yeah.
You don't have to confront him. You can sneak around backstage to the green room, or actually to a maintenance room by the green room, and it's the room you go to meet him in after you confront him, right? He's like, oh, meet me backstage. And then you go back there and you wind up meeting him in this room. Well, you can sneak in there and read the computer, hack the computer, read the email, and never, ever, ever have anything to do with him. Get the information you need and dip the fuck out. But if you sneak in there, they'll KOS you. Well, the green room right there, when you sneak in, there's four dudes just sitting there, like, watching TV. So I didn't go in that room. I snuck through the vent.
Yeah.
There's a book on the table in the room with the four dudes.
Which I got that book. The only book I'm missing, I think, is from that first room at the opening of the game.
Oh, I see.
Her office, yeah. I guess. Yeah, because she was all bitching at me. She's like, we gotta go. And yeah. I was like, I know there's some time limits on these things, and I should probably go.
Right.
Yeah, which I only had to worry about ever once. I can't wait to play that thing where I could just kill motherfuckers.
Yep.
Just be like, yeah.
But yeah, dude, like, I just was flipping through, watching people play, and like he walks over and like picks up a book. I was like, motherfucker!
Yeah, so that's glad you got the game. He said they just launched and they want people's card details and get people through the buying process.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly
what worth it for that game. I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Even to be playing it remotely.
And Deus Ex One came with it as well. So
nice. Server's full though. That's very strange.
Yeah. BK Smith says, "Have you guys seen the 3DS add-on? What's going on with Nintendo?
What the hell is that?"
Also, I know you guys aren't into portables, but the PS Vita looks sweet.
Didn't the 3DS add-on add a secondary little...
I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, that's another thing.
But, God, why? Thumb. Why just... I mean, not why add it, but, like... why can't you just... Why can't we do this to begin with?
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Yeah, right to begin, yeah.
Why do we spend so much time after the development of a device trying to correct for its failures? Instead of just going ahead and recognizing them from the beginning.
It's very frustrating. I'm sure somewhere in the development process someone said, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had another stick over here?
Was it released the last time we recorded, or was it in between that we finally found out the battery life of the Vita?
Was it like 3 to 5?
Yeah, I mean really, yeah, 3 to 5. Yeah.
That's the only problem with the machine.
It's like the Game Gear all over again.
Yeah. In a way, yeah.
Well, hell, it's like the 3DS again. It's like the main purpose of the 3DS is that it's in 3D. But if you want to use that...
Not portable. Yeah.
You're only getting 3 to 5 hours out of it. Now, the Vita, I mean, it has a ton of purposes as far as, it's not the one gimmick trick type thing where it's 3D or anything like that. It's got, it's essentially the PSP 2.
Vita is everything I could want in a handheld.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Everything.
With the exception of the battery life.
With the exception of battery life.
So. I mean, that is the, that's the tweets.
Nice.
And let's go to the emails. All right, first one's from Ravenlock. Eric, we haven't talked to him in a while.
No, I haven't.
From Immortal Machines. Hey, fellas, finally managed to catch up on the most recent episode. I don't know how it happened either. Anyhow, with regard to great game endings, I'm hoping that now that it's out on PC, one of you has played through Bastion. If you haven't, get on that shit. It's fantastic, and the ending in particular is really worthy of a discussion, in my opinion.
I have not. I haven't. Although, I suppose I could, right?
Yeah,
I don't have anything to play for. But I really don't.
You're good until Forza, if you want. You know,
and Forza. And I don't even care, like, a lot.
Yeah.
What is that? October
4th?
4th, yeah.
So, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday.
I maybe care less than I thought I did. We'll see. And then there's Rage on the 4th.
Yeah.
Really like the 18th. You see? Yeah.
I'm taking the 18th off.
Unless you're a PC guy.
Yeah.
Motherfuck them.
Yep. You won't get that until when? November. Because that's...
Why? No. I won't be caring. Yeah. Is what I won't be doing. So, which is a shame. It might be their... Might be the whole fucking point. I don't know.
Are you going to play it on the PS3?
I don't know yet. Probably.
You going to buy it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't know what...
I don't know which system. PS3 or 360. I'm not sure.
Are you getting the collector's edition?
That I don't know yet either. I got a couple weeks to figure it out and go put in a pre-order or something. I know I want to get it at midnight since I'm taking the day off. Right. So I'll go up Monday to...
It's your birthday though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good day to go.
So I'll be taking the day off. And then, I mean, if GameStop's not doing a midnight, which I haven't really done the research yet, but they're very selective on games they do midnights for. But if they're not doing a midnight, then... You know, fucking Walmart it is.
Yeah.
So, but no, Immortal Machines just did a recent interview with the writer of Bastion.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
so he was talking to Greg Cassavant about writing it. Was a hell of an experience, and I wish I could have talked to him for hours more. As regards the always online situation for Diablo 3, I don't think terribly much of it until John Walker's article on Rock Paper Shotgun outlining the problems he's having in beta. His issues include, you cannot launch or play the game at all without your connection constantly active. Connection drops, game quits. Game hiccups.
Just like an MMO.
Yeah, game hiccups due to connection instability during play. Inability to even pause the game. It behaves like an MMO even if you're playing by yourself, so you can't walk away to take a phone call in combat or anything. If your connection drops or times out, he left it idle for a while with his character in a safe location, you lose your story progress beyond whatever the last checkpoint was. Obviously, they're in beta, and some of this may change, but what's your take on this? I don't think I'm okay having a game I know I'll primarily play in single player behave completely like an MMO. Worse than an MMO, in fact, since it sounds like they're doing single player style story checkpoints, but still requiring a perfect connection to progress. An MMO at least saves exactly where you were when it quits. Add on to that the concern that if there really is no local single player design, combat is entirely handled server side, it sounds like, Diablo 3 will cease to exist when they shut the servers down someday. And I really do kind of start to worry that they haven't thought this through. Keep up the good work, fellas. Eric. P.S. So over the course of the last few shows, James, you've really become quite the indie fan. When are you going to come guest on Immortal Machines? All the cool kids are doing it.
Maybe when I know more about what I'm talking about. But yeah, see, I think he's got the right of it there. All those things are...
Their issues
are troubling, and I'm still not pissed about it, but those are the things that I just find really, 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 really odd. Yeah.
It makes you weary, not pissed.
Yeah, the only thing that mitigates it somewhat is, and I think Walker said this in his breakdown, any of your gear, like if you pick up loot, let's say you pick something up, you get an item, you get a really cool thing or whatever, and then your connection drops or you have to quit. You lose your story progress from the checkpoint, which, like I said, you know, enhanced by checkpoints is such a brilliant fucking decision. But I think he said that everything to your character is saved.
Okay.
So any gear that you would have gotten is okay, but I'm not 100% sure about that. I want to say that's what he said, but...
If you want to rage people, you know, that'd be a good way of doing it. Have, like, random drop awesome gear, then...
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, their connection gets lost, and they don't have the gear anymore.
Happens. It's happened on WoW. Yeah. Sometimes, actually, where server you've got something that's happened, and server issues have... Like, you've lost... The server's gone down... And it winds up rolling back like 5 minutes.
Oh.
To a database configuration of some... That actually hasn't happened in a long time. I don't think that really happens with them anymore because of the way they handle it now. But it has happened.
Yeah. Once is enough.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about all of his suspicions. And it is weird. I hadn't really thought about the game's future, like, that it won't really have a future like Diablo 2 does. Or at least it's unlikely.
You could still buy the Diablo 2 war chest.
Yeah, you can download Diablo 2 and just slap it on your fucking, you know, thumb drive and take it to work and play it. So, it's unlikely he'll be able to do that. But, whatever, 10 years is a long time. Things can change. But it's odd. Single player with a ping.
Yeah.
It's odd. Checkpoints suck. Single player with a ping does suck. Again, I only know angry because I intend to play multiplayer anyway. But, yeah.
Next email comes from Bippo. He says, "Hey everyone, just got done listening to the mouth smoothing episode. Loved the length. It's great listening while playing games. I just wish I could catch the live stream whenever it's on. You guys wouldn't happen to have a Steam group where you post live streaming events, would you? That'd be really convenient. Anyway, to end the mail with a generic sentence, keep up the good work. A Finnish fan, Bippo."
Yeah.
Who is also in the chat room, but...
I wanna be Finnish.
And James would like to be Finnish.
You guys aren't the 25th worst broadband in the world. Well, whatever. They'll set a tiny, brilliant, amazing little country.
Lavos is asking, Blizzard hasn't detailed any special edition, right?
I haven't heard anything.
No, actually they haven't.
They haven't even given a price yet, have they?
Oh god, no, yeah. No. No, that's a good thought. Blizzard really, really likes their special editions.
Oh, Thundrago's getting jealous. I thought you wanted to live in Britain.
I want to live in Britain.
I love living in Britain.
Seriously, I have no idea.
That's some of the best 3 years living in England.
God. I would be English, Swedish, Finnish, Dutch, what's that other little place over there next to Finland? Oh, those little bastards.
No.
Oh, man. Where are they? Oh, I'm being a terrible geography student. Whatever.
Denmark?
No.
Belgium?
No.
I did like Belgium. That was nice.
I would probably do that.
Lots of beer.
I mean, like, I know how it goes over here, man, but Jesus. I'm just
It'll come to you when the show's over.
Yeah. Do what?
Luxembourg?
It'll come to you when the show's over.
No.
That's just Thundrago throwing places out. He's like, was it Luxembourg?
Hold on, we gotta figure this shit out before we turn the chat room off, but it's over there.
Yeah, Thundrago. I love living in England, going to Cambridge on the weekends.
I would go...
Tabakov says, as James West Coast counter, I can tell you he's 100% pissed German. Next email comes from Blake Mecklenburg. Hey guys, I've been a long time listener, first time email here.
Yeah, I like those. Nice.
I was just able to listen to the Rebecca Black episode and would like to say that I appreciate your comments on the replayability of JRPGs. I suffer from the same problems where if I don't finish the game the first time through, it won't get finished.
No.
And I can also say that I have only one JRPG that I was ever compelled to play all the way through. That game was titled The Legend of Dragoon for the PlayStation.
I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was curious to know if any of you have any experience with the game. It is my favorite of all RPGs due to a battle system that is rewarding from the beginning of the game through to the end. Unfortunately for myself, my original copy of the game has become damaged and I've been unable to find an intact copy of the game anywhere else. I did recently buy a used copy, only to find out later that one of the four discs was a duplicate of another, meaning that once playing to a particular part of the game, I can no longer progress any further. I'd also like to tell James that his constant, yet sometimes very angry rants make the show worth listening to. You can easily tell that he has a very open mind about the topics and has taken the time to form an opinion, at least most of the time that is. As well, I would like to thank you for providing a cast with vastly differing opinions and taste. It makes the show more fulfilling. By the way, tell RJ that it is totally cool to be the innocent bystander, especially when James is unleashing a swath of verbal destruction. Thanks much, guys, for the hours of entertainment. Keep on keeping on.
It's cool, RJ.
Hmm?
It's cool.
Never had any doubt.
I might be talking out of my ass, but I think maybe Jeremy would have more knowledge of Legend of Dragoon. I don't know why.
I remember him playing it back in the purple carpet.
Is that when it was? It was purple carpet? Okay.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
When we had the TVs in the center set up?
Yes. Yes. I remember. I couldn't remember if it was him or
like Hatton.
Van Hatton or somebody who had played it, but I remember somebody playing it. I also remember trying to find a copy sometime, not even long after that, and I couldn't. Became one of a handful of
hard to find
PlayStation 1 RPG type things that I actually wanted to play and couldn't, because I couldn't get a copy.
It does talk about that duplicate disc thing though, yeah.
Thundrigo says he had to play JRPG Evolution all the way through for my job. Got all the ways to the end and got my ass kicked because I had to rush it. So I'm not sure JRPG Evolution. I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that. Then again, I'm not familiar with JRPGs. So Legend of Dragoon, I've never heard of.
I miss liking them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I miss... The way I used to want to play them.
He says the JRPG Evolution was on the Dreamcast.
I remember that. I didn't play that. But I did that.
Would you consider Shinmue a JRPG-ish?
No. Not, it's not what I mean when I say JRPG.
I don't envision
Shinmue. Because I played Shinmue.
That's still
I
don't one play of my JRPGs. That's still one of my favorites.
It's okay. Different. It's entirely different. I just... I'd be lying if I say that I wasn't, like, really fulfilled and kind of... whatever. Did I have a great time with Final Fantasy? I had a great time with it. Up to a point.
8.
7 was fucking fantastic. No, I don't think I can go back and play it, but it was just such a big thing, you know? I mean, we weren't very old.
I think now when you can look at it, you can see it more for what it was. Very limited in where you could go and exploration.
Yeah.
But it always seemed like there was more.
It always seemed, you're right.
I know I could only go down this one very narrow path, but my God, Midgar's huge. I know if I had the chance, I'd go everywhere.
Right.
But I could only go this way. But it always gives you that, you know,
hint. There was always the sense something else. That of a world much bigger than like your own experience. And it began very strong. I thought some of the theme... I mean, until everything kind of came unspooled in Disc 3. But whatever, that's a JRPG for you, so... I've always been kind of sad that I just still don't get the ending. It doesn't matter how many times somebody tries to explain it to me. I think they're all lying. I don't think anybody understands Final Fantasy VII. It's just whatever. It's a bunch of crap. Some people don't understand it better than others. But see, 9 was good. 9 made sense.
I never got into 9 that much.
9 was great.
I actually bought it on my PS3. I just needed to sit down and bring myself to going through it.
Right. Well, you know, but it's not cool because the guy had a tail, right? So, whatever. We can't like it. Whatever. I thought it was fucking great. It's coming from a guy who hates monkeys. Seriously, and you know, the guy's kind of like a monkey. But whatever, he wasn't a basket case, you know?
Yeah.
He was all right with everything. He was kind of all right with himself. He was the most all right guy in the whole, you know, whatever. Everybody else kind of had their own problems. And I had really had my fill of playing head cases by that point, which is what put me off of things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you get to a certain point where it's like, I don't have, you know, what was it? I guess 12. 12 looked interesting. But it was on the PS2, right? And I already had moved on to the other things. It looked ugly. That was its sin. I feel real shallow for saying that. And then what's this new one?
Played 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even try that one.
I tried it. I didn't try it enough, I guess, but I don't know.
I think we just outgrew it.
Maybe. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe it isn't. I don't really know. Sad.
Back then, you know, 7, 8 came out. Our choices for RPGs and for styles of game was very limited. Now we have a, you know, we look to Japan a lot for what they're doing. Oh my gosh, they're doing this crazy thing.
There was no Western games industry.
Yeah,
no. It was EA Sports. That was Western gaming.
And Doom.
Right.
But, you know, we look to them and they come up with the crazy ass shit, like the Incredible Crisis, or, you know, they're always doing some random stuff. And we're like, wow, that's crazy, but weird, but all right, let's like it. And I think we just kind of, Western gaming got bigger, and we're like, got used to that. Like, oh, well, we're used to our own culture, and we kind of make more sense to us. And, you know.
Maybe you're right.
Thundrago says the N64 is 15 years old this week.
Oh, shut up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yesterday was Jim Henson's 75th birthday. For throwing random things.
Yeah. It's not random. This is a podcast about video games. How is the N64 random?
When we were talking about, you know, growing up and how old we feel.
Matt.
Next email comes from Espitado. Says, hello, IGC. Still in the copyright trademark, names whatever mess you might call it, some harm was already done in a recent past. Slytherin, a company dedicated to creating war games, was forced to hold up all of their expansion packs and change the name from Battlefield Academy to Battle Academy due to a fight with EA. He provides a link. I already found two games called Battlefield prior to the known and loved Battlefield series. Battlefield on the Atari from 1981 and Battlefield Germany on the ZX Spectrum from 1987. Before complaints about these examples, I know for sure no one registered the trademark on them, or we would have had a fight, but they were the first games about war called Battlefield. Now, we're talking about a non-regulated media here. Unlike a meal, software doesn't need to be finished to be sold. They sell you half a game and patch it later. I don't see anyone going to a restaurant, ordering a steak, finally getting a plate of fries, and being told the steak will be ready next week. It's been around 30 years since games and software start to enter our homes. Still, after all this time, we still don't have proper regulations to software. Every country uses a bad written adaptation of music, books, television regulations. It's time someone makes some proper regulation for software, or just games. I'll be happy with just that. This names mess needs to be solved before we lose some good ideas to the already established IP empires. And frankly, for the past 30 years, it's about time that minimum quality requirements should be met for games, just like for any meal. Sorry for the long email, and yes, I'm revisiting something you already talked about, but you guys are the independent voice of us gamers. You speak your wills, you have no constraints from the guys with the paycheck, you won't be fired for doing a bad review or having a controversial opinion. You are perfect to bring our concerns as games to over the table, and this is why so many of us listen to you and check the site every day for the new podcast.
Yeah.
keep up the good work. Regards, Espitado. Oh, about the names in MMOs, and specifically City of Heroes, City of Villains. Cryptic, amongst all the bad names they did, they came up with a good solution for Champions Online. You basically have a handler, that is you. Your tune, on the other hand, can be called whatever you like. So there can be 50 players in the same server playing a guy named Captain Power, or whatever. Now the downside is that you can't hide from your friends in your alts.
Can be a downside.
Yeah.
The other thing he said, I understand why a lot of people are opposed to new regulation. It's scary. Particularly if you're kind of doing okay. You know, if you're all right, you don't really want people regulating the thing you love. But at the same time, I can't help but agree that we're just using... We've kind of cobbled together our own system of rules that doesn't really apply very well to games. It becomes obvious every now and then. I think it probably is inevitable, eventually, that some rules are written or rewritten in favor of this stuff. When the dinosaur wakes up and realizes how much fucking money this is worth. What a big part of the economy it is, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
And while we won't be fired for doing a bad review or having a controversial opinion, we'll damn sure have to find a new place to record.
Yeah, that's happened. before
a couple times.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And while and while you may think of us as the independent voice of gamers and all that great stuff there, I mean, it's your email that brought it up, so, you know.
You guys are just part of, as much part of the discussion.
We
the
one, honestly wouldn't be able to do anything without people.
You're the one helping that and making that happen, so.
I mean, it would be nice to, you know, it would be nice to be very, very popular, but we're not that smart.
And then B, you're going to run into issues.
And then, man, yeah, you know, you can get a lot of people to listen to your thing, but then I'd have to
compromise.
Yes, I was going to say think about what I say, but yes, it's kind
that's
of
that's a compromise.
Kind of all the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I like that we have our listeners.
I do too.
And that they kind of see the world in the same way we do, or at least some of the world in the same way we do.
They're definitely, you know, they're like us. I mean, I figure if they were anywhere close, like
if they lived around here, they'd be on the show with us.
Yeah, they'd be sitting, you know, just bitching right next to me.
Right.
You know.
And they probably reason, if would your plans bring you through this area,
replace me.
More than welcome to join.
No, that's not. That's actually not what I was going to say. Okay, but I was going to take issue with the just like you statement.
Next email from Daniel Phelps talks about Origin. Listening to the newest episode, digital distribution platforms seem to be very much in the news now, Origin being the target of the thoughts I want to share. And many of my opinions are somewhat based off of your opinions, to be fair. First off, I got no hate for Battlefield 3 being Origin only, because they seem to now understand how important digital distribution is, and seem to be double-timing it to make their service acceptable and to lay a decent foundation, despite it causing the horrors that James described. I also think, because of their reputation, especially compared to Valve, Steam, it's perhaps one of the only ways to get people to try their shit over Steam's, which would maybe explain why they're removing things from Steam's library. Irrespective of how shitty or how awesome Origin turns out to be, I kind of think it's fair for EA to force it on you a little because of the hive mind and its overwhelming support of Steam. I mean, all things considered, what else could they do if they ever want to move into the digital distribution market? People should consider what could happen if Origin fails, keeping in mind that it's EA we're dealing with. I think EA is trying to move in the right direction, maybe waywardly and awkwardly, but they seem to be trying. Long story short, give peace a chance, man. I also had an idea, perhaps a fanciful one, that would be really easy, would probably increase their revenue, and would garner just enough goodwill with PC gamers. Give EA just enough rope to hang themselves, if you will. EA has control of a large number of 10 to 15 year old IPs that have been collecting dust, or have newer iterations that make them obsolete. And you can't possibly be a significant revenue source, and they can't possibly be a significant revenue source, so why not throw up an old shit category on your store? Find a price that's suitable for titles of such age, $15 at worst. Take The Sims, the original one, as an example. I doubt it's even for sale anymore, but if it is, time for a price drop. Update the installer, game files, and especially resolution to work on modern systems, and sell it and the expansions for, say, $10 total. They could do some interesting stuff with that. Maybe then they can release the first Sims or SimCity or Black and White in HD and sell it for a bit more than that grimy, fugly copy on the old shit page. Bam! You have a cheap and high-quality shit, and if you use Origin as a platform to ensure playability on newer rigs, sort of like how GOG installers work, but as a platform, you've got a really workable angle, something for the Hive to point at and say, nice. It wouldn't really even have to be a test. It clearly works on the consoles, but your ass, I will own that Metal Gear collection. Doubt EA would ever do something like that, but it was fun to sit and think about while I sip my magic water anyway.
I don't... You may not be as far off as you think.
Yeah.
If EA can ever get over themselves long enough to recognize that there's a market there, I think this is something they could do. Am I just making some shit up, or did they put a bunch of shit on GOG?
EA? Yeah,
right? They put, like, kind of a large chunk of their shit on GOG, which actually may run counter to the idea of them figuring it out. They may have just looked at it and were like... Like, it's odd. I think they did that before they launched Origin, if I remember my timing right,
yeah.
Which I think is very strange. But... they're in a really, really good spot to do that in terms of the things that they own. In my head, I picture something kind of I imagine their answer would be like, we want to do something like GOG. Let's buy GOG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little too Masters of the Universe, giant corporate fat cat of me, but that's kind of what I'm, that, you know, that's a thought. Give them access to everything that they have. At the very least, I agree that they could garner a lot of goodwill by just fucking putting some things on sale, like real sale.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, everything that's yours should be cheaper than it is in your competitor's store.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about having your own store. It fascinates me that that's not the case.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I'm not going to begrudge anybody their hatred of it, because we don't know the whole story yet. But it is nice to hear a lot of other people, particularly a lot of our listeners, taking a somewhat more measured approach to it, I guess. I've had my problems with them, and I kind of came out okay, but it sort of feels like a little bit of luck. Their customer service is really good. EA does a good job at the customer service level if you actually get through to a person. So, but see, here you go again, like another big, this is not a huge deal, but there are a lot of people who, and I'm sorry, this seems a little bit off topic, but it's there, I promise. There are reports of people losing their, or you know that if you've pre-ordered the Old Republic, you get early access,
mm-hmm.
and B, supposedly, they calculate first day access on a batch by batch, first come, first served basis sort of thing. Like, if you pre-ordered way back in July, and it comes to the point where, artificial or not, our inability to provide first day access for everybody, you know, happens, don't worry, you've been in since whatever. There are people who pre-ordered way back then, but since they only charged you like the $5, they don't actually charge you the full amount until later. But people who have the credit card or the bank card or the whatever on file, and the card's expired since then, they don't allow you currently, supposedly, to update those details.
Mm.
And just have the game charged to the new card. You have to cancel your fucking pre-order.
And then kill any kind
kill
of
the old card, and then redo your pre-order, but
you lose.
Go to the back of the line.
Yeah, you lose your spot.
Which I find
shady.
Again, not shady, but
just,
like,
that's bad.
Stupid.
It's not efficient. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lack of forethought, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a big lack of forethought. Particularly when you start pre-orders for a game 5 months before you'll actually be able to get it, you know, through your site and everything. And this is exclusive to, obviously, Origin here. I mean, the regular places, Amazon and GameStop and wherever, don't seem to really care. But it is a little bit funny because you would think of all the places, Origin would be the one that has no trouble. I don't know. Weird, giant, fucking pain in the ass they are.
Next email comes from Theodore Stromberg, who says, this is all about Deus Ex Human Revolution, so there could be spoilers here.
I'm sorry, I completely blew right past that notification earlier.
Hey, IGC, I'm guessing you'll be talking a lot about Deus Ex Human Revolution this week, so here's an email about it. I won't go into all the things I like, because I'm sure you'll cover those anyway. There's one thing that I've thought about a lot, though, that I'm not a fan of. There are multiple routes to go to and through almost every area in Deus Ex Human Revolution. But almost all cases, they either require one specific AUG, or they're just well hidden and need to be found. What was the one that you and I were talking about, where we thought... we're like, how do you know that that little secret room's there? Because you have to have the punch-through-wall ability or something, right?
What are you talking about?
You and I were talking... I can't remember when we were talking. It was after we recorded the last episode, though. Because we were in that whole thought of, like, no, there are multiple ways you can get somewhere. You don't have to have a certain AUG to get into any different place. Mm-hmm. But then you and I were talking about... a section of the game.
Son of a bitch, yes.
And we said, yeah, how do you even get... There's no way through it.
All right.
Which part?
Okay. It is after you've talked to Taggart. You're in Detroit for the second time.
All right.
And you're going to look for his guy, his number one guy. What's his name? Yes.
Oh, well, for me it was...
No, it's the same dude.
Oh, okay.
His guy, the Latino guy.
Oh, yeah, his aide.
Yeah, his aide. Yeah. And you have to go, like, find him. So you wind up going...
Sandoval. Yeah.
Thanks,
Lovers.
Yes, thank you. So you have to go through the apartment complex. And if anybody, like, can see we're falling apart here, please help us. Because, like, we honestly couldn't figure out what we... We couldn't figure this out. You have to go up through the apartments and everything, and then there's that room where, if you let Zeke Sanders go, right, you come into the room and there's like a dead cop who's got like the two EMP mines underneath him,
yeah.
And then there's like the Praxis kit sitting out on the floor as bait, right? And you can either like disarm the mines and then like sneak into the back room, and I don't know who's in there if you didn't let Sanders go.
Yeah, Zeke was there for me.
He was there for me, and he was there for you.
Me too.
But I'm assuming somebody else would be in that room. So anyway, you can either deal with the guy and then take the Praxis kit, or take the Praxis kit and then he comes out, or whatever, you know. And I thought that was kind of odd. I was like, I thought we were cool, but...
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. So I knocked him out, took the Praxis kit, disarmed the mines and all this other stuff. And then you go into that back room, and you're supposed to find... like the alternate entrance, like the entrance down into the thing,
yeah,
right?
But you had that breakable wall that goes straight down.
Sure, you had a breakable wall.
But what else?
Breakable wall requires...
The AUG.
The AUG. Fucking requires it. And I know that they stuck a Praxis kit out on the floor, but if you haven't put anything, because of how you've played the game, if you haven't put anything... in your armogs up to that point. If you've put them in something else, one Praxis kit isn't going
to
get it to you.
No, because you have to have two for the default.
You have to have two to activate, yeah, and one
then,
to buy the punch.
Yeah.
So, that spot, and I spent like 10 minutes running all over the place trying to figure out, like, how can I do this without punching through this wall? Because I don't...
Because you didn't have the AUG?
I didn't have the AUG.
And you didn't want to go down the hole. I mean, right there, the stairs.
Do what?
Well, there's, like, the stairs, right, to go down? Because the hole is, like, a
direct... In the bathroom.
Route. Yeah.
It's a punch-through in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's the only route I could find. If you punch the hole, drop down the little, you know, the little service whatever thing where all the pipes are and stuff, and then deal with the guys, and then go around, there's a stairway that leads up to, like, a switch... that opens the door of that room that Zeke Sanders was hiding in.
But it only opens it from the other side.
But it only opens it from that back side.
Mm.
That we can tell.
I think there's another way of getting in there, because I punched through the wall, but I didn't fall down. You know, because I punched the wall, fell down the first time, died, and then I'm like, all right, I know what's down there, but I was able to get to down there, and then I found
out... For where? Because if you go down the stairs,
yeah,
it didn't lead there.
So without that AUG, you're basically stuck.
That's what it seemed to me, and I knew I had to be wrong, because...
We do feel like we're wrong.
I'm not saying the game's broken necessarily. I'm specifically asking, this is the only point in the game where I looked around and I couldn't find any way to do this without getting a specific AUG, and they had said that you don't have to have one. So I feel like either my game was something had glitched.
Or you didn't find the right trigger.
Or I didn't find the right trigger or something. Either I broke it or I'm stupid. You know?
I'm thinking you probably didn't find the right trigger. I'm trying to remember how I got it. Because I was able to
I poked my noodle everywhere.
Yeah, I was able to get like, some doors. You know, like the doors open up and I went down and I was exploring.
What doors to open up?
In the room. I believe it's in the room where Zeke was. There's like some like secret door or something like that. And,
The back wall is a door.
Yeah.
It's a secret thing, but it only opens from the other side.
But obviously you found a way to open it.
Yeah, because...
That's what you say.
Well, I mean, because I only went down that hole once and I died.
Right.
I didn't go down that hole again. I found another, you know...
But you don't remember how you opened the door.
No. I don't remember where the trigger was. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I played like a big boy and I didn't have outlines on. I didn't have, like, the...
Yeah.
I didn't have that. And I... This... My second playthrough, I had that on. And I was like, look at all this shit I missed. Like, because I never saw... I had a hard time finding punch-through-wall things my first time through.
Yeah.
Because they're really hard to see.
That very faint crack.
Yeah. You can run by it. But, like, with the thing, you know? You know in the hotel with the prostitutes in... Hangzhou, when they first take you there.
I know what he's about to say.
Yeah. All right. You know how there's the merchant? Guy, the little secret merchant guy in the little back room there?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the only way for you to find him
was
through the sewers. No. There's a fucking door right there. It's a sliding panel, like Asian style, unadorned.
I totally missed that.
Never knew.
Did you have your outlines off?
Yeah.
Off. No. Yeah, I think we were watching on. Were we watching this or was I watching you or something? And I was. And somebody. I think I saw someone else.
No, you told me about it because after your second playthrough, you're like, dude, I never even knew that.
I was like, motherfucker. No, I had to go through
the sewers the whole time.
So did I. I wound up doing it like three or four times. But no, there's a. It's just right there, slidey door. And it's right there in the downstairs ground floor lobby of that hotel. And I'm like,
fuckers.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
I just thought he was like
really
hidden away. I was like, well, this is kind of weird, but okay. Yeah. So I don't know if it was maybe something like that I just missed something really obvious, but I'm convinced I had to punch through this wall and I was like, this can't be right. This can't be right. I got to be missing something. I got to be missing a trigger.
And I didn't explore. I just, I was like, oh, I got the punch through wall ability. There's a wall to punch through. And did that. It was only until he brought it up that we started thinking, wait, there's no other way to get through that.
Yeah, and I even looked around, you know, with the augmented vision, and certainly didn't see anything, but I didn't have outlines on, so.
Nabokov says, Scott asked James if he's having mouse issues with Deus Ex. Feels to me like there's some filtering or something, or just not enough sensitivity tuning.
I didn't have much trouble at all. It never felt super crisp. But I turned off VSync, and it seemed okay. And that seemed like the most popular answer.
Yeah, it works fine in the game, but as soon as you go to, like, menus and stuff like that, it was like, whoa, you know, it was a little jarring, but, you know, not...
It wasn't perfect, but that's when
I was
okay.
Yeah, that wasn't during gameplay, that was going through...
A lot of people were complaining about it during gameplay.
I never had a problem. Had the problem during gameplay. I guess maybe if you're... I guess during hacking would be another one.
Really? Never had a problem during
that. Well, I'm just saying, that's when your mouse control takes over to a cursor again.
Hmm.
And you kind of have to do that, rather than controlling your view, the camera. So, I don't know. He says he can't aim for shit. Back to the letter here from Tidor. if there's a gas-filled room, you might have the breathing auger, you might have a hazmat suit, or you might have the healing aug. So you just soak up the damage, or you might just use med kits, or you might use multi-tools to somehow rid the room of the gas. The point is that depending on how you were spec'd and equipped, some obstacles required you to expend either less or more resources in order to pass them. In Deus Ex Human Revolution, there essentially are no resources. You have no consumables that are used to interact with the world, and you have regenerating health. This means that a route is either accessible to you or it's not. There's nothing in the game you can spend to make progress. This means that the concept of multiple routes is in some ways pointless. It's still fun, but it doesn't matter within the game's systems. On a related note, this also makes finding key codes pointless. In the original DX, you never wanted to spend two multi-tools on a keypad, so finding a code for it was a huge deal. In Human Revolution, you just hack it anyway for XP. So while you still get rewarded for exploring, you don't ever find these very important things, like key codes and nano keys. Instead, you just get a drip feed of XP and ammo for crawling in vents. I could say lots more, but I'll leave it at that. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the game.
That is exactly what we talked about last time. Exactly. So he will, and I agree with him completely. It's pointless. Still really fun.
Yeah, even when pointless. I had the pass keys for the, I'd still hack the computer.
Yeah, it gives you XP.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could have done to fix it. They didn't. It's okay. Because it's pointless, but still really fun. It kind of sums up a lot of Human Revolution.
Here comes an email for ending spoiler stuff for Deus Ex HR. This is from Theodore as well. I don't know if you're doing a spoiler talk or not, but here's a spoiler email anyway. So, I have some issues with the ending of the game, even disregarding the zombie shit. The game...
Fucking zombie shit. Yeah. Seriously, god damn it. That was hard to, like...
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass. I know that it didn't... didn't count for alarm triggers.
Yeah.
But you could get kind of screwed and have a hard time with, I had already switched to lethal at that point. Not that I even did anything with them, because I was doing my stealth thing.
That non-lethal.
It would just be tough, you know? You'd have to... Because you have to be very careful about how you time out your stealth and how you time out all your stuff. I didn't like... Particularly that one large room. I'm not a fan. Not a fan at all. I'm sorry.
Which large room?
It was like the main... multi-level, had like two or three different levels, and it had that one shaft that dropped all the way down to like the power generator room or whatever it was, where Seraph was.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then you had the little...
Where like the missiles were or whatever, that area. Yeah.
And then it led off to the hallway where Taggart was, and then it led off to the elevator and then down the long gangplank to the giant elevator.
Yeah,
so that big multi-level room that had all those dudes in it. No good at all. I didn't like it. Now, if I was playing lethal, it would be fine.
Thundrager says he really hopes he's drunk enough to not remember any of what we're talking about.
I'm sorry.
Keep drinking. How about time for another shot? Okay. Disregarding the zombie shit, the game, for the most, tells Adam's personal story. At the same time, it tells a background story about how augmentations are affecting society, and also tells a third story about the machinations of the Illuminati, which eventually ties into Adam's own story, but the game's never about the conspiracy. Unlike Deus Ex, which was about the conspiracy, this game is about both augmentation as a whole, told through all three stories, and Adam, the things he goes through and the characters he interacts with. When you find Dr. Reed, what is supposed to be a climactic moment in the story is swept under the rug. She runs off before you have a chance to talk to her in any meaningful way, and the game suddenly decides that it's about the global conspiracy and that nothing else matters. You get to Panchia, and suddenly you're supposed to decide the fate of the world. It makes no sense and is bad on so many levels. The ending of the game is supposed to be the ending of the story they were telling throughout most of the game, but you get no closure in any of the character relationships. Everything that allows Adam to even make that choice at the end is just a contrivance in place only for them to justify him being in that position in the story. It's not a consequence of anything of relevance in the story. The ways in which Adam is significant is only ever used as a part character motivations and feelings. Even that he's special doesn't matter in the ending, and that was the only relevance he ever had to the conspiracy plotline. I think they wrote the ending the way they did because they couldn't do basic human interaction. How Adam feels about augmentation technology is obviously a very important point, but to express his feelings by hitting buttons that decide the fate of all augmentation technology, could you conceive of anything clumsier? Instead of telling Seraph you hate him, you hit a button that changes the whole world. That's how bad games are at storytelling. Fuck the ending.
You know, that doesn't line up entirely with what I think, but it's also not wrong.
I feel the same way about Megan, because I remember when I first ran into her.
Put Megan aside. Yeah. Let's just talk about the button mashing. You are right, and we didn't mention like how poorly that follows on from everything before. I mean, we kind of made some... We discussed it a little bit about how everything at Panchia was just very... The gameplay was unlike the gameplay that came before it. The story development was... It stopped, actually, is what it did. It just completely stopped. All three of the major... Now that I think of it, very paternal characters, each of a different kind, you know.
That's true.
They all just became, I don't know, like, it's, maybe I'm reaching too far, trying to give them too much credit. I'm certainly not going to go so far as to assign irony to the ending of, like, the whole thing's about the mechanization of a man and, like, an utterly, wholly human choice being reduced to pushing a button, you know? It's too easy. Maybe they meant it, maybe they didn't. I'm inclined to agree that they didn't, and that they just couldn't figure it out. But I think the key is in his email, right? I actually didn't hate Seraph at the end. Maybe I pitied him, but I felt like I was just more than him. You know?
Just still trying to grasp at straws.
I was a god.
Yeah.
At some level. Like a stupid Greco-Roman god, you know, who can get pantsed in front of all the other gods and like that kind of god, not an infallible being, but I felt more than him. Like I had the full picture. Finally, not only do I have the physical strength, not only do I have the cunning, I also have the information. I am your equal or better at this moment. And I think that was... I think that's kind of what happened with your relationship with each of those figures. But I didn't hate him. So I don't know what the game could possibly do to get me to a place where I could... Where it could accommodate his need to punch him and my need to belittle him. It's a cop-out, actually. It is a real cop-out. It is cop-out. And even the voiceover didn't really convey much of anything. It was all a little too just live, Snake. You know? You know what I mean? It was too much of that. But, so I guess I should say in the moment of the choice, that's the only thing that I was happy to know that I had identified my choice. Sounds like he had too. He needed, like, the fifth button, the punch David Seraph in the face button. I can abide a fuck ending comment. I really can. They weren't even good. I can't even defend them for being good. It wasn't. The fucking shit with Megan, though. Fuck me. Everything about that was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, his... They had gone out of their way to make you think that there was some kind of emotional investment. Jesus Christ, man, she got on you about the fence and the dog. And then you get an email that they got rid of your dog and your girlfriend's dead and that's the driving force. What happened to Megan and her team? What happened to him? And then, like, you get there...
Oh, she's alive, and then you
and
see
it's
her.
Like...
Oh, hey.
He's pissed about, like, some other thing and there's absolutely no moment between them.
Yeah.
And for whatever it should have been, right? Because
I've heard most people have a harder time taking the Malik situation when you go back to Hengsha.
That really sucked, yeah.
Yeah.
Losing Malik.
There's
sucked.
A lot of people who, like, you know, that's like, man, that was emotional. That's when
she was awesome, because she was great.
Yeah, I know somebody on COG, and I can't remember who, but he said that up until that point, I was playing with Tranks. After that point, I wanted to kill every single
That's
person.
That's exactly where I was like, you
just
know what?
Killed her? I don't care about it yet.
Fuck you. Yeah. You're all dead. And if anybody was even, like, That's why I like this. When I actually got back into Hangsha proper, that moment I think actually somewhat broke my relationship with the mission when you go into Tong's thing, where you have to like sneak in and then you actually go in that room and like there's Tong and his guys. Yeah. I killed every fucking person there. And then I go in and it's like Tong and I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense. And he's like, ah, whatever, just go do this thing for me. And I'm like, I just killed like 30 of your guys. Sorry. Yeah. I can't, like, I'm so pissed I can't tell who's really bad and who's only like. But yeah, that's that same moment. I thought that was pretty good, and she was a wonderful character. And I'll, what?
Yeah, then Drago says, did you not think about Hitchman X's family? That whole other side of the whole thing. Yep, can't wait to get off work today, go see the wife and kids, and then snap, Nick.
Yep. There was something, though, right? I thought there was something really, really fantastic in that moment between you and Megan. Which is you realize she's not very human. She's so
obsessed with work.
Obsessed with her work mm-hmm. that she's only even slightly. It's only slightly weird that you're there. And you could see in her that it was like, well, okay, yes, like, I'm not really dead, and, like, there's implications that I basically set the whole thing up, and David and Seraph and I, like, that really they were complicit in cooking this whole scheme up, and we're sorry we, like, got you killed and then turned into RoboCop, and you've been strung out and all fucked up for 6 months, and I'm sorry your entire identity as a human being has been destroyed, but I've been working on this thing!
Yeah, but we're on this thing because your DNA is the one that makes it happen.
Yeah, like all problem. Of this stuff.
So I'm going to be your friend for a very long time so that I can still have access to you.
And the thing is, I picked it up, and I'm sure most of our people did pick it up, but it should have been a thing.
Yeah, really.
Instead of her just kind of disappearing at that moment until
I thought the room was white because it was about to be filled with blood.
Yeah, but more than that, I thought it should have been really clear. That's the moment where everything should have come together. That should have been, although it's late game, that should have been walking into, like, that should have been the Shodan reveal from System Shock 2. That should have been, like, mind-bending, eye-opening, at least for Jensen, obviously not for the player. The player is way ahead of the curve, actually.
Lavo says you can pick it up really, really early if you win Seraph's combo.
Yeah. No. I know what you're talking about. It's just for what that's exactly what I was saying. The player seems to be aware way ahead, but Adam, for whatever reason,
never
seems to pick up on it, even after you've gone through several quests that give you the evidence. And there needed to be a moment when it's explained to Adam in simple, obvious language how much of a tool he's been for his entire existence.
To which he would say, I never asked for this.
Most likely. But
you're all going
to
burn.
It should have been a bigger deal, and it wasn't. And I could tell they needed it to be a big deal. And that's the moment. Her, there, that thing, that's the moment the game stopped being what it should have been. And failed to kind of evolve to the next thing. It was, I agree on that. And I hated her, but I wouldn't have killed her. You know? Not me. I wouldn't have done it. Strangely.
Yeah.
So, Scott, did Malik survive with you?
With your not the first time, no. And I don't mean the first time, but I mean, when I originally got in that area, the very first time, I'm like hiding and thinking, okay, how do I do this? Of course, by the time I figure I'm going to move, she's already
dead.
Yeah, she's already sending off the whole thing of like, I was like, okay, that's not the outcome I want. And I basically, Bone, Eric, who posts on COG, he was talking about that one just this past week. And he says he likes to take the approach of, he takes the Quantum Leap approach to these kind of games. He doesn't RPG it. He's just like, that's not the way this is supposed to end. You have to redo it. And I kind of like that point of thinking. I did not want her to die. RPG or no, I was like, nope, she's not allowed to die. So, Yeah.
That's okay.
Which is fine. I wish I could have killed Megan. By the time I got to that point, I was like, what the fuck, man? Just get the fuck out. Go. Get on there and get out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore. But yeah, so... No, she's died for me, but I did not want that. Who picks up the doctors
if she dies? Megan flies them out.
Somebody, okay.
Megan can fly them out. There's a VTOL already there, and okay. she flies by herself.
Next one comes from Miss Potato again. This is one of the old ones that we did not get to last week or the last episode. Hello, IGC. I was listening to the Evil Avatar Radio episode 77.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's October 2007. I was on work, and all that talk about shooting a controller, eating a memory card.
It's 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know I'm a few years late, but would like to share my own story. A long time ago, I had a 486 DX2 66 and bought my very first GPU. Well, it turns out the GPU crashed a lot of my games. In that time, I was playing competitive Quake online and crashing about every 10 to 20 minutes. Really pissed me off. Finally, I managed to get my hands on a new GPU. These things were very expensive at the time, so it took me 2 to 3 months, and all that time I kept crashing. I installed it, reboot the system, played Quake for about 2 hours, and for all this time, I kept looking sideways to the GPU board. You just wait. In the end, I picked up a hammer and hammered the board till no piece of it was bigger than half an inch, hammering 2 fingers in the process, which didn't stop me from finishing my mission. My girlfriend thought I was crazy. She still recalls that and calls me crazy. For me, I felt accomplished. That damn board wouldn't let me play. It had to pay for its sins, and it did. 10 years past this, I moved to a new house and still found some little pieces of that board behind some furniture. As always, love the show. Keep waiting for more episodes, so keep recording, guys, and thank you for doing so.
That's vindication, right?
See, what usually happens to me is I would step on a sharp piece of that board
and get pissed.
And get angry and, like, have a moment where I'm like, this is my own anger trying to show me that, like this is the fruits of my anger. Is
now Jeremy wrote him back because he says that's awesome. I need to know exactly what were the GPUs in question, and he replied and said, I'm pretty sure it was one of the earlier Voodoo 1 chipsets. Uh-huh. I'm sure it used the Glide API, which crashed a lot. It was a pain back then. Keep in mind, I was using DOS 7. And squeezing everybody in memory from that config sys and auto exec bat, Windows 3.1 was available, okay, but not much those. Good for a gamer.
I remember those days.
Another one from the old group here. Daniel Phillips writes in, talking again about Deus Ex. Based on my own style of play and what I've read from various fan sites, a lot of Deus Ex's hardcore fans are completionists to what could be considered extremes. Say you find the direct path, you've taken down all the guards, there's no reason to really not proceed forward, but I think a lot of us...
But there is!
Yeah, we'll turn around, hack that terminal, look behind this crate, crawl through some vent, cover every inch. Maybe I'm that way because of how much I played the first two games, but regardless, it's very rewarding. When I did my pacifist playthrough, I would save in an area and figure out how to non-lethal takedown or otherwise every hostile in the room. Which was a lot of trial and error, but never once did I run into such a situation that I couldn't neutralize every threat covertly. If I took the time and patience, I had a load of it. I had to load a lot, and it didn't require exploits. That's really good design. Respect. I enjoyed the shit out of that. I agree, man. I was going through... I'd go through stuff, and then I'd get to the end and be like, oh, look at this vent. And I'd go through it, and I'm like, motherfucker.
It leads all the way...
All the way back over here.
There was one moment where... Son of a bitch. It's after you're on the ship. And you have to talk to the three scientists before you go to the area. It's before you talk to Naked.
Yeah.
What was it? Omega Ranch? Is that what it was called?
Omega Ranch. Yeah.
Okay. And there's the one building, like on this side, where two of the scientists are.
Well,
and
then there's the building. Omega Ranch was when you had to... No, you're right. That is Omega. Yeah. I was trying to think. That's the dock is where you blow it up and then get in the
fucking
whatever.
You're still in Hingsha then.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway, there's the two scientists in this set of buildings, and then there's this other building over here, and you can go into that building through the front, or if you're already in the building talking to the two scientists over here, which I was, you can there's the elevated covered walkway.
Yeah.
So I just went that way. And then I went through the whole building and climbed down like several levels. Made it all the way around, down the thing, talked to the doctor down there in the little operating theater area. And then I'm like, okay, well, I gotta get out. And so the doors to the morgue unlocked. And I go in the morgue and I'm like, this is weird. This is very strange. And I had already looked everywhere, I swore. You know, all the other places, neutralized all the guards I could so that I could be free to look wherever. And, you know how there was like the two buildings and then the courtyard in between them, and then it kind of went around and all the way up that place to where that elevator was that would lead you up to Megan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, to the boss fight and then to Megan?
Right, that was the, to where the hangar type place was.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
There's a vent. Well, you obviously found that.
Well, like, but I was... No, I came... I didn't find it, you know? And I had even been up on top of that air conditioner unit. But I was in the morgue all the way down in there, and I was like... I could punch that wall.
Yeah.
So I was like, blam! Punch the wall, walk through it, and you're like kind of down there in the little crawl spaces.
Yeah, there's gases and all stuff, and you have to actually use the pipes to...
Yeah, and I was like, this is a slightly different. And I crawled through there and up, and I was like, where the fuck does this go? And then up, and then there's a vent, and I crawled out the vent, and it's over. And then up, and I open it up, and I pop out, and I'm like,
wait,
fuck you.
Here I am.
Damn. Yeah. I didn't even notice this. Yeah. And, like, I don't need it now. I've achieved all my objectives, but that's why I do it. Because it's like,
I had,
where did all of those little places lead?
When, that's one of the places where that you, like, go down, elevator opens up. There's
where
this,
are
like,
you?
I think it was in Hangzhou, second go. I remember, yeah, this like long hallway. It's like very, very narrow, long hallway. There's like an up above little catwalk with one of the robots that just like just patrols back and forth. And they have the lasers and everything, you know, just periodically throughout the long hallway. And I'm like just walking through, just timing right, going through the lasers. And then I notice this vent. I'm like, oh, let me go in the vent. It leads all the way back down. There's a
oh yeah.
I like punch the wall. I'm like, oh well, there's the elevator again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I doubled back and found a lot of missed wall punches. A lot.
Some of the guys in the chat room are starting to think that they need to get the punch wall log for as much as we talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just it's interesting how many times it's there and you don't actually see it.
I swear to God, it saved me from battling all those guys in the pod apartment complex.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, God, yeah. And I wasn't even aware that guy was there.
Yeah.
And I had even hopped up there to get the thing, but I didn't realize that wall punch was there.
Yeah. There's a wall punch there?
Yeah. There's a wall punch up at the very top of the pods in one of those areas. You punch the wall, and it leads down to where the vendors are downstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, the two guys?
Yeah.
And you could, like, super jump up to the thing, and there was, like, a damage upgrade or something up there. Well, like, if you pick the damage upgrade up and turn around... There's a wall punch, and it just leads, like, right to... I don't know if it's the same... I don't think it's the same... I think it's the same level, but...
It's the same level as your informant guy or whatever
but,
that guy that
but
you
not
know.
In the same cluster.
It's not the same group. But so...
I don't know. I still like your way of getting past all that.
Oh, it was fucking great, dude.
Did you just run?
I basically... I was like, fuck you guys. So I stealth, I cloaked, ran, jumped out... Like, over into the big common area, jumped out over the thing. Like, Icarus landed, and then, like, ran down the thing. Like, and ran down the ramp to go to the locker room. Right as my energy ran out, and my stealth dropped. And all the guys are like, what was that?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever. That was really pretty cool.
I never got stealth until... the docks of Hangzhou.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That one where you have to go and, plant the bomb.
I got stealth during the bear. You know,
that last little bit was tricky.
Was it ever?
Yeah.
Because you know, a turret, a camera, two guys standing on the catwalk overlooking where you're gonna be, and then multiple guys in a camera.
That room was tricky
with those crates. But yeah, man, I got that little fucking hog where you know you could be invisible. And fuck, breeze through so much more than I thought. God damn, so
fight.
Many other.
Oh wow,
so many other places would be so much better. Or you know, earlier I would have gotten through this so much quicker.
The problem is, like it really, really eats your energy up.
It does.
Very fast. You can't rely on it for too much. Which I thought
was
a good balance.
Like the default three
seconds
per cell.
then to 5, then to 7.
Yeah.
But even then...
You're like, oh, 7 seconds, even if you have all 5, that's, you know, a good 20... No, it just...
Yeah.
Thundrago says, guessing no one has touched Gears 3, he would be guessing correct.
Is that really a fact?
No.
I thought you would be playing it.
I'm not. I've got it. I haven't played it yet. Oh,
no, not a Gears fan.
Well, I mean, it's got 4-player co-op, and I've really been waiting to find some people who aren't. My problem is, I didn't play it on the first day, and it's a good thing I didn't anyway, because everybody else would have just blown through it. Because that's all my friends are way ahead on Xbox Live. And I'd love to go through it, 4-player co-op, but I'll probably jump in some tonight. Or I'll be buying Trackmania and jumping into that. Yeah. Last email comes from Nabokov fan. Says, this is about Dark Souls, Collector's Edition. Hey all, so news this week, this was back on September 7th, by the way. News this week is that previously badass Dark Souls Collector Edition that you get for pre-ordering is now a digital deluxe edition.
What?
Sure, you get the game in a metal tin now, but the manual, behind-the-scenes content, and soundtrack have all become digital versions. Also, the menu is now a mini-guide. The UK edition will feature hard copies of everything except for the guide, which is supposed to be the full edition. It will not have the metal tin, but will have a cardboard box that is folded. This is the type of thing that has been pre-ordered for several months now by a few thousand people. Like Steam users that just got a dev copy of Dead Island on Steam, or those people who wanted TF2 without the 250-plus patches and hats and other stupid bullshit, it appears that when a company says they are doing something, when you go to the store and buy something, particularly when it comes to video game industry, it means nothing. Why is there free reign to simply patch out a game into something else? Why is there pre-order bonus content changing months and months after it has been decided upon? More importantly, why the hell is it that when I buy a PS3, I lose all of the fucking features because someone behind a desk doesn't feel like playing PS1 or 2 games, feel like playing those games is important anymore? This should be a consumer-driven industry, not some forum-based impulse response or some sort of cost-cutting every 3 months, 15 different versions of a handheld type of industry. Let me leave you with this. I spent the last 2 months playing Roller Coaster Tycoon on my PC. Good game. Thank you. I liked it. I remember when I made up my own park and had you guys as characters.
That really was a fun game.
Especially when you just made coasters that didn't have a... just off of Oblivion. Oh, it was great. And then it was like, smash. It's over 10 years old. It's still the same game, and I don't have to worry about someone ever taking that experience away. Has commercialism taken over what we once upheld as nostalgia? Thanks for the show, everyone. Nabokov fan.
Yes.
I would say so.
It doesn't bother me very much anymore. I'm always, I like that it bothers Nab. It should bother somebody, I suppose. But yeah, I know, man. It's a fact.
RJ, have you pre-ordered Dark Souls?
Mm-hmm.
But you
not for the bonus stuff.
I was going to say, you just want the game, though.
Yeah, but my first and foremost thing is the game. The bonus stuff was a nice little perk, but I don't like the fact that they changed some stuff now. I mean, it's not as advertised, basically. I don't know, but as you know, they get the reason they do it, they can get away with it. So they're going to keep doing it until something
calls
forces them
out.
to stop doing so. What that is, I don't know.
Lose money.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen very often, you know, that people change the way they operate. And even when they do, it's usually not to do it the way you would have them do it.
Mm-hmm.
It in a lot of ways, it is what it is. And no one of us, no several thousand of us can really change it, I don't think. And the number of people who have enough influence to do it don't want to squander that influence.
Mm. Nabokov is saying in the chat room that he has since canceled his pre-order.
Mm.
That kind of sucks. I understand it, I guess. But that does suck. I just wish the fucking thing was on the PC.
Yeah, that's all the emails.
It's okay. We've gone, so it's not exactly a short show, you see.
Yeah.
So, it's the end of September.
That it is.
We theoretically do another show. The date. What's the date of our next recording?
Our next one would be on the 8th.
Okay. Okay, maybe we'll play the thing. Dark Souls is out when?
4th.
That's the 4th.
Tuesday the 4th.
Fours is the 4th.
Fours is the 4th.
Rage is the 4th.
I think the 11th is Ace Combat.
Okay.
Batman is the 20th?
Batman's 18th.
Okay.
So, I mean, we have a show on the 8th. That's Saturday the 8th. So you'll have all three of those games to talk about. I don't even know if I'm playing Rage. But,
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know if I'm playing Forza.
I know. Bastion's now.
Yeah.
And so is Trackmania.
Trackmania.
I should have at least a day, maybe two, with Dark Souls by that time.
It's enough to at least form an opinion I'm interested in,
Get a good, get a good taste of
it. And don't forget, we do our shows in the afternoon, so you get all day Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To mess around with it, too. So, but yeah, the 8th, and then our next one will be on the 22nd, which will be the week of Batman's release. And the week before Battlefield 3. So. I saw Newegg had Battlefield 3 for the cheap, like $48. Just cheaper than what I
would have been. I know. It's
I was sort
unfortunate that that's cheap.
Well, yeah, I know.
With, I know I talked a lot of shit about it last week, but with the Old Republic release now being like
late,
essentially late. 2 months after that fact, I actually might wind up. I'm reconsidering my position on Battlefield. I mean, we're getting an open beta. When is that?
This week.
Yeah, it's this.
It's like the 29th. Starts on Friday.
Is the 29th open or is 29th for pre-orders? I think the pre-orders get like 2 days before the open.
Oh, you're okay. Yeah. You're right. It was, yeah. This week is the pre-order. You're right. Is the pre-order thing, and then like a week after or something like that.
It's like next Monday week.
Yeah,
will be. Yeah, I will see.
So along with October 4th being a heavy day for three games getting released, you'll also
I will also have had I think a Battlefield beta. So.
Yeah.
I guess what I'll just do is stop talking out of my ass and wait until I've played it.
We'll play it.
Since they're giving us the opportunity. Well, good.
So that is it.
That is it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
actually. Sure. We'll talk to you guys soon.